2 years ago, this is the work that we did. All this land was purchased by cities or by the city of Austin or the county, and we use our funds and our political clout to encourage the city to purchase these lands for protection.
Has any of that been developed on?
Yes. So this does not mean there's no development. What it means is that the development is done in a sustainable and ecologically friendly way.
By implementing Agenda 21, it's a local implementation. It's from the bottom up kind of thing. That by putting all these regulations environmentally and putting them on the urban areas that, you know, are usually the economic centers for cities, that you're sort of picking winners and losers in a way, because you're saying that only people who will adhere to these things are allowed to develop. And so there's kind of a bigger agenda there with that. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I would turn it around a little bit, and I would say, I don't know that we're picking winners or losers. This is not a kind of environmental nepotism that's going on. I mean, but I think it's a mistake to think that rules don't already exist everywhere.
The United Nations has made its anti-private property stance abundantly clear. Quote, land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore contributes to social injustice. The provision of decent dwellings and healthy conditions for the people can only be achieved if land is used in the interest of society as a whole.
First of all, we have to believe that humans need to live kind of symbiotically with the earth, that we're not here to dominate the earth. You know, when the United States was founded, and many of the original sort of authors and thinkers who wrote about, you know, society in the U.S., and people like Thoreau, for example, there was a sort of idea that the U.S. was this great wilderness, that we could just go out and sort of settle the wilderness and be pioneers and live on our own and be independent. I don't think it's like that anymore. I mean, there's very little wilderness left in the United States.
Sustainable development is the philosophy designed to bring human beings across the globe under the full control of a narrow human elite.
It's a 40-chapter document to basically control the world. It's based entirely on socialist control mechanisms.
Sustainable developers have designed a global movement coordinated through a global to local action plan to create world government in accordance with certain objectives. An end to national sovereignty, the abolition of private property, the restructure of the family unit, and increasing limitations and restrictions on mobility and individual opportunity.
Professor Almy admitted plans to restrict travel were ecologically necessary, and his contempt for the family and Western civilization was thinly veiled.
You know, the suburbs bring with them their own kind of tyranny, right? One is, public space is almost non-existent in terms of real public space. There's lots of lawn, right? But real collective public space. There's the tyranny, I would argue, of, you know, the nuclear family, and not that that's tyranny in itself, it's not, but the wife having to drive their kids to everything. Having to drop your kids off at school, having to pick your kids up at school, having to drive them to Little League, everything is about one member of a family having to basically play a support role while another member works. And everything is sort of geared that way, and it's actually quite expensive. You know? So things like the automobile and the amount of infrastructure that families use to economically to support living in an environment dominated by patterns that are automobile dependent is a big problem.
This is an Agenda 21 map that claims that that is what, if Agenda 21 was fully implemented, the United States would look like. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I haven't seen
that.
This map before.
And this is something that opponents have said is the ultimate plan of Agenda 21. I didn't know if you had heard of this map or seen it before.
I haven't seen the map before, but I know where some of the principles behind the map come from. It's trying to kind of suggest that if we were to develop networks of of water, networks of plant habitat, networks of animal habitat, networks of human habitat. How would these networks begin to interact? What areas would need to be preserved from development?
There is a pretty great fear of this. I found a lot out there of this plan. And that it really will somehow end property rights, people's personal property rights, that it will end national sovereignty eventually and give it up to a whole global entity now that will kind of take control over everything. I mean, that's kind of the general consensus.
You know what will end national sovereignty faster than some fictitious conspiracy based on a United Nations declaration? Major ecological catastrophe, you know? And you know, to be honest, in my opinion, I think one has to come to terms with the fact that such things as global warming exist. If you don't believe global warming exists, or if you believe that man is on this planet to dominate the world, then you don't care about these things.
It should be noted that the professor admitted to democratic socialist leanings once the cameras were off, and that his father worked for the CIA, as evidenced by a paperweight he displayed on his desk during the interview. While he talked in circles on many concepts and seemed to contend that he knew what was best for humanity, he refused to acknowledge any nefarious motives behind Agenda 21.
Most of the people here in Elgin don't know or care what Agenda 21 is. I don't care what Agenda 21's agenda is.
Think about it. These local planners are trying to concentrate smart growth in small towns of barely 15,000 people in the second largest state in the nation, encompassing hundreds of miles of empty land. In fact, experts have even come forward to say that the world's entire population of 7 billion could fit here in Texas comfortably with no problem. It doesn't make any sense. But make no mistake, what does make sense is that these local sustainable development meetings are nothing more than a green mask trying to hide a global takeover in plain sight.
Takeover doesn't even begin to explain it. There really are no words for this level of evil and greed. These are just front groups we've analyzed in the video today. But when you look at the real players behind them, the bankers, the people with connections to families like the Rockefellers, you begin to understand the true corruption, the real nature of evil, where mega wealth aligns with an agenda to destroy humanity and control our future for their gain. For the InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Aaron Dykes.
And I'm Melissa Melton.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
That's right, my friends. We started this 48-hour live transmission, continually live, except for some of these special reports from the nightly news we've been airing, back on the 18th at 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern. And we're running right through until 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern on this Saturday, the 20th. So technically it's the 18th into the 20th. We said 2 days of truth, the 18th and 19th, but technically it's 18th staggered into the 20th. And obviously when you're going for 48 hours, we're now 46 and a half hours or 46 and 28 minutes in, you're going to get a little bit behind. You're going to get a few people on late. We're about 28 minutes and 15 seconds exactly behind. So we will be going past the 48-hour mark. We'll have Joel Skousen on with us for about an hour and a half. Then Christy Hightower, who's been tweeting at Real Alex Jones and running our social networks along with Lewis and doing a great job, she has been up for more than 24 hours. I went home and tried to get 6 hours sleep and overslept about 30 minutes. Got into the office and took a shower here. That's why my hair is wet. Probably first time ever wet hair here on the air. So we are here, ladies and gentlemen. Literally just brushed my teeth and ran in here. Thank you so much for joining us. Getting a nice cup of coffee into me right now. I've got a couple special announcements here to make today concerning Joel Skousen, and that's really why he's here. Very, very exciting announcement to make that I haven't really talked about. One of my crew may have told somebody, it may have leaked out, but I haven't seen any buzz about it, so I'm going to be announcing something here in a moment. First off, we've raised about $300,000, and in this depression, that is great. I never came up with the idea to try to raise money. As you know, 5 years ago, we had listeners, when I had about 10 crew members, right at 10 crew members and contractors, a couple of them contractors, I guess about 8 crew members, 2 contractors to be technical. I always get caught in minutia. The point is, we were in a small, we had a 3,000 square foot office, another 2,000 square foot little warehouse down the road, so 5,000 square feet, and we were reaching about 3 million people a week conservatively, some weeks more. Now we reach 15 million a week one way or another. 15 million people. According to Google Analytics, Shoutcast, Alexa.com, Arbitron rating systems, and that's just the AM and FM stations we're on that actually subscribe to it, because you only get those numbers if they subscribe, and we get boil downs from ad agencies if people want to know where those numbers come from. It's 15 million. Some weeks more, some weeks less, but on average, it's about 15 million. I know we have a responsibility to fully challenge evil. I'm not going to sit here. I have this feeling every day, you know, sometimes when I'm up here 18 hours a day, that if I don't go with my maximum effort, that the evil's going to win, and that I'm going to wish later I would have done more. Because believe me, folks, it's re-education camps. Those are in the new Army documents. It's people inspecting your home. It's the state taking your kids from you. It's forced inoculations. That's not on the horizon. That's now being announced openly. So things are rotting very quickly now. That's how corruption works. It kind of slowly seeps in, and then suddenly you fall off the edge of the cliff. And none of us are perfect. We all have issues, you know. But those of us that love God and have good hearts and recognize good from evil, we want to be good. The wicked, they love to be evil. They think it's cool. They think it's fun. And they want to make us be like they are and live under them. That's what it's really all about. So it's important to say no to these people. And the satellite uplinks, depending on which ones we get. I mean, if I really want to cover the Middle East, Europe, Russia, that's one big satellite. Well, really, it's two if I want to get them. And then if I want to cover North America, that's another big satellite. And that can be, I don't know, $20,000 a month. And I'm kind of like a kid in a candy shop, because what I'm after is hearts and minds. You don't really see U.S. TV unless it's CNN propaganda on those free-to-air systems, because nobody in the U.S. wants to do it because you won't make money doing it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And I haven't even really articulated in the last few days my plan, because I'm so busy looking at the different. They have news file sharing systems where you can have a show taped to air, upload it like 20 minutes before showtime. It's almost like it's live, you know, but it's really taped to air. CNN, Fox, most of those are actually taped to air. And then it's shared. But that's mainly only on British and U.S. and Canadian television, and then that's controlled. So we're looking at those systems. If you really want to hit the world, you got to go free-to-air on the quality satellites. There's some older, cheaper ones. And so that's really what it's all about. You know, InfoWars Magazine, we sell these in bulk at cost, in groups of 10 up to 100. We're looking at franchisees to put them out in cities in their area with their ads in it and some of their local news. We're just trying to figure out anything we can to get the word out, and that's why we've been successful. Not that I'm that smart. I've just, by trial and error, necessity is the mother of invention. We're here trying to get the word out, and that's why Talkers Magazine, the New York Times, you name it, so many other publications have said we are the trailblazers in the new media. Even if they hate us, well, Talkers doesn't, but some of the others, you know, top analysts have said we are the best there is, which doesn't mean we're that good. In fact, that shows the sorry state of humanity. But the crew's great. The supporters are great. We couldn't have done any of this without you. And so when you buy a book, when you buy a video, when you buy a T-shirt, when you subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv, when you support our sponsors, when you donate once a year to the Money Bomb, it really allows us to do this. It costs us close to $6 million a year. And believe me, folks, that's on the cheap. So we've got $35,000 video switchers, 3 of them, which we need when normally a cheap switcher at a local TV station is $120,000. And so we do need to get for television one of the expensive switchers. The prosumer stuff just does not work properly. You can have it as backup. We need the uplinks. We need to raise $500,000. It'd be great to raise $1 million. So, you know, the Money Bomb will kind of trail off of the next few days. I hope to get to $500,000. Most of our donations have been $5, $10. In the past, we'd see a lot of $5, $10,000 donations. But people are scared now. People that are nouveau riche, middle class, and you know, churches are seeing donations go down to almost nothing. It is important, folks, to invest in this type of information. And hey, if that means spreading the word or putting a local ad in your paper about InfoWars.com or putting up a billboard, people are doing that, that's great. But I want to hit that goal, 500,000, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. There's a lot of bleary-eyed people here. I could have just ended up, I've been up pretty much 24 hours first day, got some rest last night. I could just stay up 48 hours, then I really get dingy and start making jokes and acting stupid. And as if I don't do that enough already. So the point is, because it's teleprompter free. I mean, you're getting what's really in my brain. It's, you know, straight to you. But we are here, and we'll be here for another 3-4 hours. Okay, we got Christy Hightower coming in with an Ask Alex, and then some surprises. But InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I'm not extending it, trying to even really raise money. I just want to be able to finish up what we're doing. Now, this is going to be an interview here, but I'm going to, you know, let Joel roll for 10-15 minutes. At a time and then interject points. Obviously, I want to get his geopolitical take on things and the, you know, the proxy wars in Syria, Iran, the massing of more and more stuff around China, where all that's going. Stiglitz, the Nobel Prize winning economist, former chief economist, World Bank, saying, yeah, now it's a depression in Europe and going worldwide. We've already known this for 4 years. Now they're admitting it. What does that signify? And preparation. But to tell you who Joel Skousen is, if you don't know, and then we're going to him, Joel M. Skousen is an American conservative political commentator, a nonfiction survivalist author, one of the most prominent out there, and retreat consultant who specializes in preparedness topics, particularly survival retreat and fallout shelter design and construction, as well as what he calls strategic relocation. Skousen is the founder and chief editor of World Affairs Brief, a weekly news analysis service. He has offered in North America and in Central America, construction regarding architectural and retreat design, some of the best in the world. Skousen has written several books, including Essential Principles for the Conservative, Conservation of Liberty, Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, The Secure Home, which is one of the bestsellers ever, Survival Home Manual, Architectural Design Construction and Remodeling of Self-Sufficient Residences and Retreats, and How to Implement a High Security Shelter in a Home. He has also published a booklet titled 10 Packs for Survival, which is also posted to several websites. Skousen Designs, the consultants of Harden Retreat Homes, offered fallout shelters, HEPA, air filtration systems. Hey, I ought to get him to build me a shelter. No, think about it. In the book, Dancing in Armageddon, Survivalism, Chaos in Modern Times, Richard G. Mitchell, Jr., Skousen is quoted, "You never want to make a house look like an obvious fortress." Well, mine didn't look like a fortress, but I built a big wall. "Those who want can always move up to a bigger gun. There is no way you can design a home to withstand RPG, rocket-propelled grenades, and tanks." And it goes on. And, of course, Skousen also was raised in Oregon and later served in the U.S. Marine Corps fighter pilot during Vietnam era. During the 1980s, Skousen was the chairman of the Conservative National Committee. He was also the executive editor of Conservative Digest. And I'm not going to go over his entire bio here, but in the late 2007, Skousen gained attention when he gave his support to Ron Paul rather than former LDS church member. He's not former LDS church member. Wikipedia's got it wrong. Mitt Romney in the 2008 U.S. presidential election. We will, again, break that down with him. Here's the announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I hold here the check disc in my hand. I meant to put this out in just a couple months. We ended up working on it about 4 or 5 months. Myself, Darren McBreen, Rob Jacobson did the lion's share of it. So it's not really, we're calling it a presentation. It really is a documentary film. They went haywire on it. They've been really wanting to make a film for a while, but I've been so busy. So now they've come out with strategic relocation. Yeah, here it is. There is strategic relocation in the camera. And folks can check that out. It's going to be up for sale Monday. The truck of DVDs is on its way. We will have some pre-sales, first before that goes out. And, of course, this is the first printing, too. I'm just now proofreading it for the first, actually for the fifth or sixth time. But there it is, Strategic Relocation. Alex Jones interviews Joel Skousen on safe places and how to secure your home. But I think when the second cover comes out, I'm going to really call it a documentary presentation. We call this really an interview. And it's, close to 3 hours long. It's like 2-hour main presentation and a bunch of extras. And it's unlike anything you've seen. It's basically his book, come to life. Poor guys are trying to show document cam, and I keep moving my hand around. We're also carrying Strategic Relocations, North American Guide to Safe Places, third edition book. and we're carrying the Secure Home 3rd Edition. This is the Bible. As I've talked to a bunch of experts, this is the book used by even government type and rich people when they're building their own retreats. I mean, it's the real deal, not a bunch of hype. Somebody that's been doing this, I don't know, 30, 40 years, and build them all over the world. So the Secure Home, architectural design, construction, remodeling, and self-sufficient residences and high-security retreats, and Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. So how to get the house done right and where to go. And I've talked to so many people, other experts, like James Wesley Rawls, who was just on a few nights ago. It all blurs together when you've been doing 48 hours off and on. And he was praising Skousen as well. And of course, we carry his fiction books, but they're good to get the general public to start thinking about what's going on. So we are going to go to Joel Skousen here today. I want to get into, he obviously can't talk about his clients, but the fact that he's told me on air and off air, more and more elites are really getting dug in. The 1.6 million bullets, the troops now not running drills, but real checkpoints from South Carolina to California. It's all accelerating the TSA checkpoints, all of it for the next hour and a half. He's going to be with us here today. But first, sir, let's get into geopolitical developments. Syria, Iran, the killing of the ambassador. We're hearing a lot of conflicting reports. I don't know what the truth is about that. Where the campaigns are going. Will Romney get a false flag pulled on him as he pulls ahead of Obama? Will there be riots, as thousands of tweeters are saying? And I've had Democratic. I mean, it's a lot of questions I've got for you. Joel Skousen, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Alex. Been a while, but good since I was in your office. Enjoyed meeting you personally and talking to your excellent staff. I'm really impressed with the equipment that you've got and this entire organization.
Well, we're trying our best, sir. So thank you for your support. Your Skype video is frozen. We might reconnect in about 10 minutes while you've been sitting there for 30 while we've been getting ready here. Wow. I mean, so much is going on. I just, you know, obviously introduced you, but there's a lot of knowledge that I can't break down in an introduction. Geopolitically, where are we right now? And what does this proxy operation in Syria mean? Again, I mean, where is all this going with Iran, October surprise, the whole ball of wax?
Okay, let's start with Syria, because this is the linchpin of the globalist agenda in the Middle East. They are intending to take down Iran. That's the main target. But they want to remove Syria as a threat because the majority of the retaliatory power of Iran's connection with Syria is based in Syria. Syria did take possession of a lot of the weapons of mass destruction of especially the biological chemical weapons were shipped to Syria from Iraq before the Iraq war by Russian convoys. Those are there. They have probably the largest arsenal of missiles that's capable of doing guided missile attacks at Israel. They can overwhelm Israel aero missile defenses with approximately 1,000 missiles. So Israel really is worried about Syria, even though Iran has more accurate, longer-range missiles. They have fewer of them compared to the arsenals in Syria. There's a lot of smaller, even yet smaller missiles Hezbollah has in Lebanon. But the globalist Israel agenda is to remove Syria and that threat of retaliation before they strike Iran, when they know that Iran will retaliate.
Okay, Joel, I'm going to give you the floor after we fix this, and I apologize. For some reason, there's interference with your mic. We're going to put you on hold, reconnect with video Skype so we can see you. I don't know exactly where you're at right now, but either call your landline or your cell. We're going to get both those numbers, double-check our numbers, and we're going to do that right now with him. So that's the plan, guys. He's going to give us his numbers right now vis-a-vis getting into that computer and getting them. So Dan, go ahead and get those right now. CJ, we're going to go ahead and get the numbers from him. So we're going to go ahead and do that right now here with our guest. Again, crew's doing a great job. We're 46 and a half hours, 46 hours, 43 minutes into transmission here. We're going to get Joel Skousen on. And again, we're going to go with whichever landline or cell sounds better. And then we're going to reconnect with video Skype with Joel Skousen. And again, this is not up yet. I was not prepared for this. It went off to the printers, to the masters about a week and a half ago, and it's already done and already been manufactured. So we're going to have a strategic relocation, the film. That's really what it is. Incredible graphics and audio and video backing it up. Strategic relocation, the film. And it's going to be available at InfoWarsStore.com. I may even have them, because the guys are back there, I may even have them put it up today. Just because, wow, okay, the truck is on its way. And so we're going to start pre-orders right now at InfoWarsStore.com. That's InfoWarsStore.com. And we are going to, again, reconnect with Joel Skousen. So we have video for you if you're watching at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. This is incredibly important information. So something you can all do is you can call your friends and family. Do it. You can email your email list. You can call your friends. You can go to Facebook, Twitter, and say, hey, they've got three or four hours left of the 48-hour live transmission, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or InfoWars.com or PrisonBunny.com, and there's a tab up there in the corner. So what Joel Skousen is about to break down is so incredibly important. Am I thumbs up, guys? Roger, roger. Okay, go back to him. Okay, Joel, again, I'm just going to lay these out. Get into Syria. Get into Iran. Get into the domestic preparations, why we're seeing those, then the election, all of it. And again, my brain, you know, moves, you know, as quick sometimes. That's why I'll interrupt. I'm going to turn my mic off and sit back and really, you know, for 20 minutes at a chunk, you've got the floor here. And we've saved the best to last here today with Joel Skousen. And everybody get the video feed and audio feeds at InfoWars.com. To everyone you know, start over on Syria, Joel Skousen.
So did you get anything about what I said previously, Alex?
Yes, sir, but now you're crystal clear. Let's just recap that, sir. You've got the floor.
Okay. Recapping on Syria. Syria is the main objective right now towards the overall objective of taking down Iran. And the reason Syria must be taken down first is because it has most of the retaliatory missile capacity that Israel fears. And that's why there's this conjured up war against Syria. Now, Syria used to play ball with the West, used to do a lot of the extraordinary renditions from the West. It used to do some torture that did to that Canadian citizen. So Syria is not a nice player, but just like Gaddafi has been betrayed by, after he was playing ball with the West, so is Assad, in order to take down this retaliatory capacity. That's why Turkey suddenly turned against Syria recently, and you know, the revelations of Sibel Edmonds talking about all of the classified and secret information that was being given to Turkey and all of the illegal activities of Turkish lobbyists that she uncovered with the FBI. And that was shut down by the FBI, and she was shut down as a whistleblower because Turkey was being prepared, in essence, to be used as a vehicle to get NATO into this war with Assad. And that's why we've had these conjured-up attacks, mortar attacks on the Syrians, so this, on the Turkey, so that Turkey could be justified in attacking Syria. Turkey is attempting to get Syria to retaliate against Turkey in a significant way so that NATO can justify coming into Syria with armed intervention as being that Turkey is a member of NATO. But ultimately, the target is Iran. The Iran attack has been postponed, according to my sources in Israel, at least 3 months because of the fact that Syria is a tough nut to crack and it's taking longer to destabilize than they had thought. That the Syrian rebels are not doing a good job. They just recently agreed to a centralized command. They had to have arms twisted to do that. Same problem in Libya, where you brought in a lot of terrorists that the West controls, and they more or less control them. They control them at the very top. They don't control a lot of the actual terrorist personnel, and so there's a lot of infighting that has occurred. We've seen that in Libya, where things got out of control. The Libyan Muslim Brotherhood did not, in fact, as they thought, control the various militia groups. One of those groups attacked the American embassy. There has been a lot of bad blood in the State Department with the fact that security was requested and denied for these. So it may appear, in conjunction with this video, which clearly was a provocation, the video that was produced in California under very suspicious circumstances, that was apparently a provocation. that was shipped specifically to Libya and shown to these militia groups in order to try to incite the kind of unrest against America that we're seeing there. Now, part of this has to do with what I call the phony Muslim Brotherhood threat agenda. Nothing is more symptomatic of that than Glenn Beck's new documentary called The Project. Now, it isn't that there isn't some Muslim threat against the United States, but to project it as the overall threat against the West, against Christianity, is not true. What's really happening is that the establishment is pushing the Muslim threat as a means of justifying the globalist threat of intervention to other Middle East countries. It's meant to get Americans on board. That's why most of the Christian televangelical organizations are pushing the Muslim threat through video and special documentaries. It's why Glenn Beck came out of it. But what happened in this supposed Swiss document that was uncovered was a major plan in which the Muslim was going to infiltrate the West and take over, sabotage all of its institutions, and destroy the West and create a new Ottoman Empire. This simply cannot happen. The Muslims have never been able to produce a major weapon system on themselves, and terrorism alone has never taken down a nation. You have to have major weapon systems that, frankly, only Russia and China contain right now that are capable of taking down the West. And that's why I'm saying that the Muslim Brotherhood threat is a red herring. Now, it's true that there is some threat there, and most of that threat is, as Ron Paul said, because we continue to provoke it. The United States runs false flag operations in these countries, like that video that was meant to provoke unrest and hatred against American embassy. But the purpose of this is not because, that is, of provoking the Muslims, is not because they are intended to become the spear of the threat. They are intended to simply justify, in the Americans' mind, the fact that we need to keep intervening. And that's what Mitt Romney has bought into with all of his neocon advisors that surround him. But it is not the threat. The real threat is Russia and China. And how does this play into the Russia and China threat, that is, the takedown of Iran? Iran is part of a systematic program, like Iraq, of targeting Muslim countries so that they create hatred against the West, building a reputation of the United States as the bully of the world. And the purpose is to take some of the major constituencies that used to be supporters of the old Soviet Union, that is, the Slavic people and the Muslim people were the major constituent, and turn them into hatred against the West. That's the reason, for example, in the intervention in the Balkans, why the United States went after civilian infrastructure in Syria, taking down bridges, hospitals, schools, televisions, radio stations, power plants. That's why Israel went into Lebanon the last time, and the first time in their history, instead of directly avoiding civilian targets, they directly targeted civilian infrastructure. Part of this, I believe, is it's hard for Americans to think about this type of philosophy engulfing America, but it really is an Hegelian dialectic, that you're creating conflict, you're creating hatred against your own nation. And for what purpose? To justify Russia and China eventually attacking the West. And they have to have a reason, or they don't want to be viewed as the bullies themselves. And so the main rationale for this war eventually is that someone has to stop the bully of the world, which will be NATO and the United States. So I want to emphasize, it's very important, that a lot of people are predicting Iran will turn into World War III. It will not, in my estimation. Iran is meant to be, the Iran war and the Syria war is meant to cause a major Middle East war, which will rearrange the entire structure of the Middle East and give the United States and Israel complete dominance, as well as building hatred among the Muslims. But it will not turn into World War III. None of the actors in the Middle East have the power of striking the West and the Middle East. And Iran, although it could send a missile as far away as portions of Europe, the United States and Israel intend to not just take out the military structure, or the nuclear structure of Iran. Their real target will be to decimate Iran's military. It won't be simple. It won't be easy. There's going to be a bloody nose to the West. But the United States has put troops in harm's way, still in Iraq, still in Afghanistan and surrounding in Bahrain and various other Middle Eastern countries specifically to make sure they do get a bloody nose to justify U.S. intervention. The entire propaganda, in my opinion, about the United States being reluctant to back Israel is just that propaganda. We've known as far as 2004 that the United States, through its globalist network in the City of London and elsewhere, has been talking about trying to get Israel to attack Iran, major part of the globalist agenda. It's taken them this long to do it. Part of the thing that slowed them down was the 2008 campaign of Ron Paul. The anti-war sentiment was growing so strong in the United States that they, in fact, fudged and changed the national intelligence estimate about Iran's nuclear program to deny that Iran, or saying that Iran had a nuclear program, but they disbanded it. And they've stayed with that officially so that they had an excuse to back out of the attack on Iran, which was planned originally in 2008. Now aircraft carriers and other armaments are amassing again. But once again, as I said, my sources indicate the attack has been put off for about 3 months so that Assad could be taken down in Syria. So that's my basic view of what's happening in the Middle East. I still think we're looking at a major world war, but not for about a decade. 8 to 10 years, I say, is what it would take for Russia and China to complete their rearmament. As I covered in the World Affairs Brief recently, the major turning point in Russia as they've decided to forego any more aid under the nuclear or the non-Luger nuclear anti-proliferation legislation, which has provided millions and millions of dollars to Russia to dismantle their older nuclear systems. What the United States doesn't know is that all of those nuclear warheads dismantled from those weapon systems were given back to Russia. We even built Russia state-of-the-art nuclear refurbishing warhead plant at Mayak. This is all near the underground nuclear complex of Yamantau Mountain. And as soon as that plant was complete a few years ago, the Russians declined to allow any of our inspectors into it. We still don't know what's in Yamantau Mountain, an underground bunker and factory system as big as the Washington, D.C. metro area underground. But the mere fact that Russia has said we're not going to take any more aid under the non-Luger legislation means they value higher the ability to say goodbye or to stop all of the inspectors, U.S. inspectors, from seeing anything than they do the aid. And remember, the phony collapse of the Soviet Union, where the Communist Party actually went underground and faked its own demise, was specifically for the purpose to get a huge amount of Western aid to help rebuild the Soviet, ex-Soviet states, as well as Russia. That has now happened, and they are cutting off the aid because they are going into major rearmament, and they want to make sure that U.S. inspectors aren't there. Now, once again, we're still a fair several years away from the actual Third World War, in my opinion, because the strategy is for China, in league with Russia, to cover Russia's rear by creating a shield all across the Eastern Pacific, and that means taking Japan all the way down through Australia, much as Japan did in World War II. And that's why I don't recommend, for example, Australia and New Zealand as retreat sites. Australia sold most of their mineral rights to China. China will occupy Australia and New Zealand, the Philippines, and much of the wealth of the Indonesian shipping channels. And in order to do that, China has to have a full operational blue water navy. And a lot of people say, well, why is China building aircraft carriers when she's designed all of these weapons to destroy the U.S. aircraft carrier fleet? It's specifically because they intend to use nuclear weapons to decimate our fleet in the Pacific when war comes, and then bring out their aircraft carriers when, in fact, the nuclear weapons have been spent. I also believe there's a long-term strategic analysis that the trigger event of World War III will be North Korea. North Korea has a significant nuclear weapons program. They've tested a couple of nuclear weapons. They have the missiles to develop it, even though they've had several recent failures. But it's interesting to note the contrast between the U.S. treatment of North Korea and the U.S. treatment of Iran. The U.S. and NATO continue to decry North Korea's weapon system, and yet they have guaranteed that there'll be no military intervention, no attempts at regime change. And every time they make threats against North Korea about the nuclear program, they back down. They continue to give food aid and other aid, the sanctions are really paper tigers, whereas Iran, who we don't even know has a nuclear program, I happen to think that they are planning a nuclear program and trying to get one. I would, too, if I thought the globals were out to get me. But nevertheless, the contrast between how you're going to attack Iran, even though it doesn't have a full-blown nuclear program yet, and you give North Korea a free ride, means that the globalists in the West are aware that North Korea is being preserved as China's trigger. And why does it make a good trigger? Because North Korean forces are so overwhelming in the North Korean peninsula that the only way to stop a massive wave of North Korean attack into the South is to use tactical nuclear weapons. The United States is keeping some 13 to 30,000 troops in South Korea specifically to be held hostage for this event. And I think the U.S. knows that North Korea is a puppet of China and will begin the trigger of that war. But you see, if the U.S. responds with tactical nuclear weapons to stop the North Korean attack, that gives the opening for both Russia and China to do their long-awaited nuclear preemptive strike on the West. I believe it will be attack on military targets only in the United States, sparing most of the cities, and possibly take out the nuclear targets in the U.K. I think initially they will not strike Europe because they want to blackmail Europe into submission. The globalists will come out of their bunkers and say, Russians and Chinese deceived us. We now need to join since our military has been destroyed in a militarized new world order to prosecute this grand patriotic war. And many Americans will be deceived at our leaders' claims that they were deceived at this or that they didn't know what was coming. Like 9/11, the United States knows fully what they're coming. They are, in fact, covering for the military preparations of Russia and China and making sure that the United States is vulnerable to this nuclear attack so that there will be the maximum incentive to get Americans to finally give up national sovereignty.
Unbelievable. Joel Skousen, researcher, editor of World Affairs Brief, is our guest. Joel, I've got to stop you because every time you're on, and of course the film we've made that's coming out in a few weeks that we are putting up for pre-order today at InfoWarsStore.com, you go over all this with all the facts, all the documents, then we put video clips over it, all the maps. And when you look at the whole globalist New World Order Anglo-American agenda, and for new listeners, that doesn't mean white people. It's just, you know, the United States, England is called the Anglo-American system by the globalists themselves. When you look at it, your breakdown is what makes sense. Everything they're doing is about not making us self-sufficient individually. Everything they're doing is about hurting people, especially the minorities in the compact cities. Everything they're doing is about demonizing us. I would notice a decade ago, News Corp would be pro-war, pro-tyranny domestically, but then badmouth America and their publications overseas, you know, run by Rupert Murdoch, and this whole program, just like World War One, World War Two, setting up these enemies that are real enemies, but they still set them up to begin with. It's not that Hitler was run by, quote, the West. It was that he was empowered, and because I've read all the even mainline history books, admit that. It's just not something that's on History Channel. They admit they put Mao Zedong into power in 49. I remember the John Birchers were talking about that and stuff I read from the 60s and 70s. That was declassified, what, about a decade ago and is now on History Channel. They had the old CIA section chief, who was very elderly at the time, bragging that they'd actually, you know, put him in power because he was, quote, a stabilizing force. David Rockefeller wrote an editorial when Mao died, and the New York Times actually saying that, but not pointing out that they'd put him in. So it's so diabolical that the eugenicists that run this, they'll get to wipe out all the urban dwellers, and I don't just mean black people. They'll get to, you know, wipe out all the yuppies, all the people they disdain, all the trendies. Then you'll have just some of the people in the countryside that they know will then fully mobilize behind this takeover. As you said, the secret weapons will be rolled out. I've talked to Bob Bowman and others that worked in Star Wars. There's no doubt that they're 20, 30 years ahead of what we even know. The public space program is an admitted front. They even admit 90% of the missions were secret. And so that's where this is all going. X-ray lasers, Shabo meteor guns, decapitation weapons that could kill all the world leaders in a matter of hours, that can even blow up bunkers, you know, a mile and a half under a mountain. All of this, you know, super penetrators. I myself have reverse engineered this information. And just everything you're saying is the only thing that makes sense. And then in their popular culture, you almost see a preparation for this. And now we see the elite scurrying and even their mid-level people to create hardened structures. So I want to talk about the time frame of this. But what about the incredible arrogance of openly using Al-Qaeda? Openly saying, because you talked about how they use, you know, the Muslim extremist manufactured Muslim Brotherhood that goes back to British intelligence, you know, in Lawrence of Arabia and his handlers 100 years ago or close to that. Fast forwarding now to what we see happening domestically, it's also used to set up the paramilitary checkpoints to train us that we're all prisoners and all under suspicion, to bring in the cashless society. So it's also about that domestic agenda. And I see a key chink in the armor saying, wait, you want to fondle us when we fly and abuse our families and abuse people that, you know, have medical prosthesis and things, that you want to break our will for Al-Qaeda, you claim, or, you know, is hiding in our luggage or in our pants. But then you run Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria. I mean, that's now admitted even in The New York Times. It's just amazing that they could have such a open paradox or oxymoron of give up your rights because of Al-Qaeda, but then the West runs Al-Qaeda against the Russians, runs them against the Serbs, runs them now against the Syrians, the Libyans, everybody else. And it's just amazing that all this is going on. And is there a plan to then double-cross Saudi Arabia that has been kind of the bulwark of British intelligence and the whole Anglo-American system? Joel Skousen.
Well, I don't think there's a plan to double-cross Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has been such an excellent puppet for the West in being able to fund al-Qaeda. Most of the, we have to remember how this operates. They really run al-Qaeda at the top, and they don't control the individual terrorists that are used. The terrorists, you know, get orders from the top, and they don't know, you know, who's running the show at the top. So that's why there is sometimes some lack of control that happens. Whenever you, you know, you basically talk to the top leaders and then you get them to give orders down there. But there's a lot of mistakes that happened, and that's fortunately for us that they don't have absolute control, but they have, you know, effective control. But I think it's important to emphasize the point that the Muslim Brotherhood is the big red herring that we're dealing with. It's meant to drive Americans into accepting all of this diminution of their civil rights, but it's also made to divert Americans from seeing the real threat, the Russian and Chinese threat. And it's amazing to me, Alex, how even conservatives, even people who listen to your show, call me for consultation and things, they, you know, continue to think, I think that's because they listen to Glenn Beck so much and others that are pushing the Muslim Brotherhood threat. They continue to think that that's the big threat that they need to prepare for. And it really isn't true. You know, unlike the Germans who could infiltrate, speak English like Americans and infiltrate America and Britain, the Muslims can't do that. You know, they look different. They have different characteristics. You can't have them infiltrate the same thing that you can.
But even the Germans, who were a lot better at it than the Middle Eastern Muslims and people, they got caught most of the time as well.
That's right. And the only reason that we have this Muslim infiltration is because the United States is letting it. Europe is letting it. They purposely opened the floodgates.
Oh, listen, they will never. This is on record. They will not let Europeans and people into Canada. They will not let Europeans hardly into America. But I've been there at Canada while they're screaming at me when I'm going in there as a journalist or even as a tourist and just watching foreigners from the East just walk right up, boom, you know, where they're from. They just and the Canadian border people literally bow down. I mean, they're just straight through.
Yes, it's very disturbing. And the United States continues to bring in other Muslims. They continue to incite. I mean, we had an incident this week about the New York Federal Reserve bombing plot. It's another of the agent provocateur. Take away the, you know, it's not just informants. They employed, they gave a little disinformation out to the New York Times in the story saying that this guy had invited in other people to join him in the plot and eventually invited in an FBI informer. That isn't true at all. The FBI informer was there from the very beginning. It turns out to be an agent provocateur, provoking, inciting, telling him, shoveling in the plans, the explosives, everything. You take away the FBI in these arrests, and there is no case.
Well, that's even admitted in mainstream media, that there's hundreds of cases of them finding mental midgets, provocateurs, idiots, drug addicts, all of this. Let me expand on this, though. We've even seen our military, even some high-level generals who continue to not hit Iran when they're basically pushed into it, who continue to say, hey, Russia, China, hey, we need to stop obsessing in the Middle East, Central Asia. We need to get out. And we are actually seeing a lot of leaks of people within the system who are basically agreeing with what you're saying, Joel Skousen. It's just tribally so much fun at a primitive level to get upset about the Muslims all day. But I don't know how mainline conservatives and people don't get it and don't understand that the globalists run the Muslim extremist on record. And they just don't get it. I tell them, look at the Homeland Security training manuals that keep coming out. Returning veterans, gun owners, libertarians, constitutionalists, real Christians, people they know that aren't going to go along with this total takeover. We are the ones being listed as terrorists. We are the thing. I mean, it's a total cover story, the Muslims. And you're right. We've got to break this. I mean, is there any way to break this and stop them from 6, 7, 8, 9 years from now? That'll come quick. And I agree more and more with your timeline, because you can really see the battle lines being drawn and the real military preparations against China and Russia. Is there any way to stop them nuking us and doing this and wiping out all the useful idiots in the major cities?
Well, you know, I get this all the time from people. Why can't why don't I see just a neutron bomb or a EMP strike, which would simply wipe out our infrastructure here, and why do they have to nuke us? Can't we stop this nuke? And I say no. The reason is, for example, an EMP strike takes out the civilian infrastructure through shutting down the electricity, but it still can be put up within about anywhere from 6 weeks to about 6 months, depending on the damage. It can be knit back together. And I said, besides, the military is increasingly hardened, almost 90% hardened against EMP, and they have to take out the military in order to, forego or put forth their plans for actual dominance over the West. And so there will be a nuclear strike someday. I mean, these people aren't building these nuclear weapons, for fun. They intend to use them someday. Every single military exercise, international large-scale exercise with Russia and China involves a simulated nuclear strike on America. It's going to come someday. And that's why, while we fight for our freedom, we still ought to be preparing for a takedown in case we can't stop this. The only way, I get this all the time. Well, why can't we know who these globalists are. Why can't we just, get somebody like Ron Paul into office and arrest these people? And I say, well, the problem is they have captured all of the surveillance requirements. It's one thing to know that David Rockefeller believes in globalism and expect that he's behind this, or George Soros, or many of these other people, but you can't actually prosecute them and take them down for illegal acts, for treason against the United States, unless you wiretap their phones and record that. And who controls all that? The dark side of government. And that's why it'd be almost impossible, even for someone like Ron Paul, who was in office, because they simply wouldn't tell him the truth. Those people...
Well, sure, they're masters at creating these big committees, and then they come in and agree on something and label an illegal war, secret arrest, torture as something else, and then they all have plausible deniability. You can see how it's done. One area is they've gotten so arrogant, though. I've heard them on Bloomberg Financial on XM brag that they've conquered America, they've conquered Europe. Nobody's going to stop them. They bragged and said Goldman Sachs has conquered Europe. They've said John Corzine can steal over $1 billion and lie to Congress. So they've gotten so arrogant that they're really committing crimes openly now. And when Media Matters 2 years ago it got leaked, their own memo and Politico thought it was just great. Oh, hey, they're infiltrating alternative media and, quote, sabotaging it. Well, those are criminal acts. And so, forcibly inoculating kids nationwide in different schools, all the things they're doing. I mean, it would take like a real committee on un-American activities to haul these people in and just publicly expose them, and then just have state grand juries, once we had the political will, to expose them. And that's why the John Warner Defense Authorization Act and everything is set up around stopping states and legislatures and governors. They know one of the only hopes is states getting back, grand juries then indicting people, state police arresting them when they're there. The feds are standing by to swoop in at that point. Remember last year in Texas, the legislature in the House unanimously voted to say no more groping, TSA, we're going to enforce the law. And Homeland Security and the Pentagon announced F-16s are on standby for blockading Texas. And they were ready. Let's go civil war. And it was just hanging out there as you're not going to do jack squat. I talked to high-level military people and later confirmed it with low-level. When Rick Perry on the campaign trail jokingly said Texas ought to secede, they got federalized National Guard and surrounding states fired up, and National Guard in the state fired up, literally warming the tanks up to go seize the state capitol and arrest Rick Perry, even though it was a joke. And he got a phone call and came out and said, I was just joking. And they're like, you bet you were just joking, boy.
Well, you know, I think you talk about trying to control the alternate media. I really have to worry about some of the things that I've heard claimed, you know, from insiders. You know, much as I respect some of the things that, you know, they come out with, Doug Hageman, I think, has got a problem with this TSA source on a couple of issues. I know that they've been talking about this October surprise. They've been talking about the potential of a military people are going to come in and save us and do a coup on Obama. I have an alternative point of view here. I really, you know, I've been in government. I've been in the military. I know that there are never allowed to be any officers other than yes men ever rise to high military position in the United States military. They call them out. I mean, they got my number by the time I was captain. They knew that this guy isn't going to go any higher. He's not, you know, a globalist. He's not a New World Order people. But, you know, if there really was a coup that was going to be pulled in order to save us from Obama and the other things, you know, the worst thing a true source would do, he wouldn't get on and spread it all over the internet that there was going to be a coup. That would be the death of the coup. It just can't happen that way. First of all, I think it's just absolutely disinformation.
Oh, I want to be clear. You know, when I say sources, I'm talking about like kernel level. I mean, it was in the news. They said they were going to block, have an air blockade of Texas and not let aircraft in. But that was just hung out there. And we've got all, and of course, they tell people in the FBI and places, hey, something big's coming in late October, early November, even if there's a 10% chance of something. So, no, I don't want a military coup, and I don't think one would happen. And I agree, if sources were really talking about that, they would quietly die in a canoe accident the next day.
That's right. You know, one of the things that people have to realize, you know, Steve Quayle has his sources, so does Doug Hageman, and continually feed him. Lindsey Williams claims that he has his sources. Now, I happen to think on Lindsey that his original, Richfield oil guy was legit, and he got some really good information. I happen to feel like he's being led along a little bit by these follow-on sources. But let me give my reasoning here. You know, the government surveils every telephone conversation. They don't know exactly what we're talking about right now. They especially make sure that every news media, every right-wing talk show host, their telephones are always tapped. There is no way that anyone's going to be able to talk to any of our people on our side of the political spectrum and leak information about government plans, whether it's an October surprise, without getting shut down. If they are permitted month after month, year after year, to talk to these people is because they're permitted. And that's what we've got to be careful of, is that these, I'm very, very careful when someone calls me up on the phone and says I claim to be an insider source or I'm working inside,
Sure, I mean, sometimes I get calls from high-level counsel on foreign relations people, off record. I mean, these are real people. I'm not getting anonymous stuff. I mean, I get some pretty crazy confirmed, people, but you can usually tell, and sometimes they'll just outright threaten you, like they're acting like you're your friend. They're like, "I think your family's going to be all right as long as you don't go too far." I mean, at the level I'm at, I really do get these calls.
Well, my point is this: I think that there's a concerted effort to discredit our movement, Alex. By the height of 2012, how many times, you know, has Gerald Celente and Lindsay Williams said the dollar's going to collapse in 2012, the euro's going to collapse in 2012, we're going to have imminent financial collapse, the dollar's going to lose its reserve currency status. I'm here to say that they really haven't thought that out very well. Who's ever feeding that line to them is trying to get egg on the face of our entire movement so that we're the laughingstock. It's Y2K all over again. In the sense, now that was a legitimate threat. We owe a great deal of gratitude to Gary North in getting the government moving, so they did fix most of the problems, and what they didn't fix, they covered up when Y2K came around. But, you know, there's so many people, and I consulted in this with people saying, you know, I said, don't cut your finance, don't go off into the boonies without any financial things, because, you know, this thing is going to get fixed.
Oh, listen, this is what happened with me with Y2K. I thought, sure, there's computer system problems, but it's hyped. And I, until a month or two before, was saying it was hype. And my listeners got so mad, they said, no, you're wrong. And then I did like 10 hours of broadcast that day, reported on ABC News. My wife comes in and says, they just said a missile was fired from Russia, and that was on the news at the time. And I come back and go, well, they said a missile was fired. I don't know what that means. And then I was on Michael Trudeau's show joking around about it hours later when it didn't happen, going, missile fired, like making a joke after we knew it was that Scud out of Serbia. But that was the media trying to hide. And then they went and edited it all together, the media did, to like 5 minutes of me sounding completely like a crazy person to take it out of context. That happened last week. I read tweets where they were saying, we're going to kill Mitt Romney. And people went and edited all that together, me talking, and said, Alex is saying this. I mean, these are incredibly dirty tricks. Look, I don't blame people like, Lindsay Williams or whatever, or Gerald Celente for thinking things are collapsing. We're in a slow, continued collapse. And, you know, it's in the New York Times and Joseph Stiglitz saying Europe's in a depression. But I get what you're saying with the currencies. They seesaw them. You know, there's a currency war where everybody's debasing it. And so the dollar will fall faster for a while, then others will fall faster. That'll make the dollar look like it's going up. But generally, they want a slow collapse into austerity. They don't want a big one. So you're saying you think, and believe me, I mean, I hope that's the case, buying more time. But, I mean, Europe's already in a pretty big pickle, and we're already seeing a lot of stuff here. You're saying you don't think by next April, like Max Kaiser says, that it's going to really be bad?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not that it's not bad. It is bad. I'm saying that they have the power to cover it up longer and extend it out. Let me just give my reasoning here because it's very, very important. Let's talk about the threat of hyperinflation, for example. And by the way, let me just say, like Y2K, the number one reason that everybody gives me when they call about relocation or secure home consultation is I'm afraid of imminent collapse and I got to get out within the next month. And I keep telling people, you have more time to do this stuff properly. Because if you try to do things like the end of the world is coming in a month, you're going to get caught like Y2K out there in the boonies with no income stream.
And everyone's going to laugh at you. Listen, I have been saying 2012 is a hoax for 5 years. Will you watch when the world doesn't end December 21st, I'm going to get blamed. And they're going to say Alex Jones said the world was going to end. You watch.
Yeah. And it isn't you. It's your guest sometimes to say that type of thing. And I know you're very reluctant to counter a guest that's here, but I just wanted to give this contrasting opinion of why there won't be either the loss of the dollar reserve.
Sure, go ahead.
In recently, or hyperinflation. You know, the people, even Peter Schiff, said there's going to be hyperinflation. But, you know, you don't think things out very well unless you understand what does it really take to get hyperinflation. First of all, you've got to have a fairly modest monetary base that you can double and triple in size fairly rapidly. That isn't true with the dollar. We have a monetary base of $200 to $300 trillion. The Fed could print $20 to $30 trillion a month, a year, and it wouldn't be more than 2 to 3 months of the percent of the money supply. That's why I say they have much more room to inflate. And the only reason they're being judicious at all is because they know that if you start getting over 10%, people start really noticing. And that's why real inflation is right now between 7 and 9% and not the 1.6 to 3% that the government is saying. And we also have to look at the second thing in hyperinflation. You've got to have an automatic mechanism where the government can keep injecting money into people's pockets so that they can keep pace with inflation. That's the only way you get your Weimar Germany-type inflation. The government took over the payment of wages for people, and they kept increasing people's wages to keep pace with the increasing printing of money. That's the only reason you get to carting wheelbarrows full of dollars or marks around. But you see, we don't have that structure. And so if you've got inflation over 15% going to 20%, it still wouldn't be hyperinflation, but it would be enough that people would start to stagnate. They couldn't afford to buy anything. The economy would move into a reverse, even though certain people who are on the receiving end, at government contractors, et cetera, of large doses of money, they could raise their prices. Most people couldn't. You have stagflation. You can't have hyperinflation unless you have those two things. Small money monetary base where you continue to double and triple the supplies of the money, which would be very difficult to do even for the Federal Reserve. They don't need to do that. They've got room to bail out Europe, and that's what they've been doing. You know, people predicted that this Greek, you know, would cause the collapse of the euro, and then it was Spain, and then it was Italy. All three of those are in bankruptcy nearly, and they haven't caused the collapse of the euro because the U.S. continues to come in with dollars under the table and fund those banks and keep those banks from defaulting.
Well, Joel, I agree with you, and they're more sophisticated now with their computers and their flash trading and the rest of it. I agree to you to this extent, but the issue is they're human, too. They could make a mistake, and we could see some type of, you know, serious gyration out of control where it flies, you know, flies off the table. If you look at this like a gyro that they're trying to manage. But I've noticed if you look at the real inflation, it's in Rolex watches. It's in super expensive secure type homes. It's in farmland. It's in some of the commodities, but not as much. The globalists are keeping most of the money, actually just papering over the derivatives. They're not even taking it personally. Some of it they are, and that's why they're kind of cheating. It's like in Goodfellas, you know, where they rob the airport and get $10 million and say, don't spend any of this. The cops are watching us, and some of them start to spend it, so the cops figure it out. We are seeing, and the news is reporting, that luxury items are the only area really ballooning, and we are almost seeing the beginnings of some hyperinflation because they're trying to not have a bunch of that money actually hit the streets. That's why when they gave the banks trillions of dollars, you notice they wouldn't lend it. And people said, why aren't you doing that? Well, if they did lend it, it would actually start the inflation faster. Do you agree with that statement?
Absolutely, Alex. This is what I've been saying in my World Affairs brief for months now, is that there's two actual economies. There's the real economy, then there's the speculative economy. Almost all of this bailout money has gone to the big banks, the big investment houses, and they're churning the money in the speculative market. They're not spending it or investing it into the real economy, except to the extent of about 20%. And that's precisely why, you're exactly right, why there a lot of inflation isn't showing up. It's ballooning the speculative economy, and a lot of it's going overseas. A lot of it's in the Forex, the foreign exchange markets. A lot of it's in derivatives and in the hedge funds. And that's why it isn't coming home. Now, let me get to the other point about the dollar, you know, collapsing. The only way that the dollar could collapse, is if we had hyperinflation, which, becomes worthless, which I've shown is very, very difficult.
Or if countries all start dumping it.
Remember, though, this sounds easy to say that they can start dumping it, but remember, you can't just dump it. Dumping means trading it in for another currency. There isn't any other currency on the world as big as the dollar that could even absorb that dumping without causing hyperinflation in the other currencies. For example, you know, the euro is about one-tenth the size of the dollar, and so is the pound. For them to replace the dollar, you'd have to inflate their currencies by 10 times, and you can't do that without hyperinflation. You can't have special drawing rights replace the dollar as well, because that would require that the various basket of currencies that you create all agree not to inflate past a certain rate. Like the euro has to agree that all the countries can who print euros can't exceed more than 3.5%. Could you trust China, you know, to be transparent? I don't think so. You can't trust the euro. You can't trust the British. Everybody actually trust the Fed in the sense that they are the only ones strong enough to bail us out, and that's why there's virtually no incentive to kill the dollars. Another reason is because there's so many dollars spread around the world. Remember, everybody's traded value for those dollars that they hold, and they're going to want value back when they trade it into something else. And I'm saying there's not another currency or capable of forming another currency that's capable of replacing the dollar, because they're all fiat currencies. And just like you said, they all like dollar inflation because the euro can inflate up to the rate that the dollar's inflating, and they keep on par in the currency markets. It looks like they're equal. And so when the U.S. inflates 10%, all the other currencies are free to do that without making their currencies look bad in the markets. So there's a lot of incentive, and we cannot underestimate this, to preserve the dollar as the reserve currency. Now, Russia and China have stopped using the dollar. Iran stopped using the dollar. But these are still minor uses of the dollar as the reserve currency. You've got to remember there's two major things. That's the petrodollar, of which 80% of that is tied up in U.S. oil production or oil purchases. And then there's the dollar that's necessary to buy things in the United States, which is still a major exporter and a major engine of the economy of the world. And so if you want to deal with the U.S. in terms of selling them oil, you want to deal with the U.S. in terms of their economy, you have to deal in dollars. And that's why, since it's the largest share of the dollar reserve system, that there isn't as much danger of the dollar ever collapsing, except over the long haul. And that's why I'm saying I think you're on the right track by saying they're going to continue to keep this thing going for a few years. And the reason, Alex, is I think they want the cover of the world war to finally justify the collapse. They don't want to get the blame, and they would get the blame if it happened right now.
Well, I just want to be clear, though, about all of our guests. It's okay, because it's important if someone disagrees with what they've heard guests saying, then it's important to have in a debate of ideas. That happening, and I think it's good that you do it respectfully. I hope others do it respectfully. At the same time, I think these men genuinely believe what they're saying, and I think from the perspective of somebody like Gerald Celente, who I really like and is just a wonderful guy and a frequent guest here and a friend of mine, his view is we're in a collapse when we're deindustrialized and things are rotting and falling apart, and he sees it getting worse. And the media just spins it and says, there's nothing wrong. Everything's sunshine. We haven't been in a recession for 4 years. Here's some new fake job numbers. I think when you talk about total collapse and his total collapse is two different deals. I think you mean kind of a road warrior, apocalyptic deal, versus when he says collapse, just things getting worse and worse and worse. And I think it's really a mix of the two. But I agree with you that when I've heard, Max Kaiser put the date of April on it, that by April you're going to see the death of the dollar. That's not what I've watched them do the last 5-6 years. They drive the dollar down, and then they drive the other stuff down, and it just kind of seesaws back and forth. But overall, all the currencies are sinking, and it's done in a way where people don't notice, and then the inflation that is there shows up in the commodities, in the stock markets, like you were saying. And so yuppies go, oh, look, the stock market's been flat in 10 years, but at least it's flat. No, it's not, because it takes more of those dollars and other currencies to buy those stocks. The truth is, there is inflation inherent out there. It's just more of a rotting, slower inflation.
That's correct. But I think we have to be very, very careful about the use of the word collapse, because I think when you say, the euro's going to collapse, they're printing more Deutschmarks, which, by the way, was disinformation, spread from some pretty high levels, Alex, about Germany reprinting the Deutschmark, just wasn't true. They're very much committed to keeping the euro alive. These are globalists. They're not going to let the EU collapse.
No, they're going to bankrupt the whole world and use NATO and Europe as the core of the world government. They've said that.
Exactly. NATO is going to be the forerunner of the militarized new world order that I'm predicting that they'll form. It'll be probably called the League of Democracy that's already been floated by John McCain and others. It'll exclude, finally, the communist countries, which they should have excluded at the beginning of the UN if they didn't intend to create conflict as they do. But the NATO is being prototyped as the militarized version of the New World Order, and it's very, very dangerous to be allowing these foreign wars and NATO to be charging in. And increasingly, the U.S. is using NATO because, the U.S. doesn't get as people don't get as upset. And I think it's very important to realize that they're going to continue to draw out these slowdown in the economy, the currency, and other things. They have a great deal to prop things up, a lot more than people, the power that people think. You know, people like Peter Schiff, as much as I respect him, he needs to understand more what these globalists are all about, what this dark side of government is all about.
I know. I mean, I like Peter, but I've had him on, and he still kind of acts like there's no New World Order or global government, when literally the last 3 years, they went from saying there is no plan for world government to we're mega banks, we're authoritarian, we're going to set up a world government. But everybody's so used to them always denying it that you're not supposed to say it. I mean, I could show you Time Magazine, Newsweek, Financial Times of London, Economist Magazine, Davos meetings, Herman Von Rompuy, Barroso, Gordon Brown. I can go through hundreds of clips right now. We've done this. In fact, I want to do some new videos with all the saying, oh, yes, the collapse will bring in the world government. Europe will be the core. NATO will be the core of the new army. We're going to, by 2020, ban all single home dwelling new construction. I mean, they're, and this is when they're talking to themselves. They are talking to 2020, 2022, 2025 as when they're going to have the new dark age that they're going to impose. And again, briefly here, go over the three different power blocks you see, or four different power blocks, and where that's going. And then I want to shift gears. And of course, they could always double cross and just nuke us tomorrow. I mean, I don't think any of us know what they might do because they've got different programs and plans running. But I agree with you. The real plan I see is in closest 7 to 8 years out from nuking us. On the outside, 15. Correct me if you think I'm wrong. Joel Skousen, the World Affairs Brief, is with us. And then we're going to take a pause here for the 2012 money bomb. Even if you're watching this later at PrisonPlanet.tv, even if you're watching this later on YouTube, we're trying to get satellite uplinks up to get this message out to the world, not just here in the U.S., where we've really, from grassroots level, from underdog level, really challenged the globalist. And just pray for us, folks, because believe me, they're not happy about what we're doing, but they don't want to kill me and make me a martyr because you know then they know that puts a highlighting on what I've said and done. They'd rather just assassinate my character. So please pray for us. I mean, pray for our provision, our protection. And I don't just say that to, oh, pray for us like we have a connection. I need those prayers. I need that intercession. I'm only here because of your prayers. My grandmother, almost 90 years old, across town, you know, with breast cancer, is over there praying for me right now. I know she is. I can feel it. And I'm telling you, folks, I need those prayers. Joel Skousen needs those prayers. And I and my crew needs them. And those of us fighting evil need them. And I pray for you. Pray for us, but also donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Buy books, buy videos, buy Propure water filters. Spread the word. Tell people. You know, about what are we doing? We go to rebroadcast in about 3 hours when this officially ends, folks. We've extended a few hours. In fact, I should have asked the crew. I should have planned that out. I guess we just restart from somewhere until the Sunday show comes back at 4 p.m. tomorrow, the radio show. What is the plan on that? I should probably, I've been off and on for 48 hours now. It'll be 48 hours in about 23 minutes. But again, we'll probably start retransmitting it probably or some of the larger blocks at the Money Bomb streams or what are we going to put on the audio streams when this goes to rebroadcast? Have we thought about that? There's so much planning that goes into all this. And I'm going to make a decision then, but I need to talk to the IT guys during the next break to decide what's the easiest thing to do. Because we're going to probably, I mean, obviously, we'll just keep restreaming, right, out to everybody that's watching. So up at YouTube, the Alex Jones channel, which they're trying to shut down right now, by the way, they're constantly behind the scenes with, you know, it's got almost 250 million views total, about 500 plus million views on all our YouTube channels in the last 3 years. That scares the system that I can make a film like the Obama deception seen more than 40 million times in the different versions that are out there. You know, 20 million here, 12 million there, 5 million here, 2 million there, 40 plus million total views that we can see and know about. We had over 20 million on the Google video version until they locked us out of it and shut that down. Look, they don't like the fact that I can get up here and get off the script, okay? And I don't have all the answers. I have guests on that I respect so we can all have a larger debate here so you can figure out what you think's going on and ask God to, you know, give you discernment. But again, Joel, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you think it's important for people to help us get satellite uplinks to free-to-air, which doesn't really bring money back to us, but it gets the word out to these satellites to be able to put a couple hours.
Yeah, absolutely, Alex. It's extremely important to take advantage of these almost what we call lost leaders out there. There's a lot of free broadcast available if you're willing to pay the bills. And sometimes, you know, you can't make money on truth. Truth is so controversial. Truth is so sharp that you've got to simply support it as a cause. And that's why I endorse what you're trying to do. It's going to be very important, Alex.
Well, thank you. And people need to understand, I know there's a lot of poor folks and hardworking people, and they're saying, I'm going to get my paycheck today and pay, you know, you give you $100. I'm like, do not do it. Unless, obviously, it means something to you, whatever. I understand that. But I don't want people going without. I want you to get ready and get prepared. If you don't have a lot of money, folks, spread the word to get people to find the truth, and then some will donate as well. But for all the people I know, and there's a lot of them, Liberty produced a lot of wealth. And you've got money out there, folks. I'm taking my profits this year and basically not even taking a paycheck to put it all into this, because I realize there's no future if we don't really face these people down. So for those of you out there that are well-to-do or upper middle class, you are insane, in my view, if you don't spread the word about this show and donate, because for whatever reason, and I don't brag, I'm a humble person. I come across as arrogant and kind of a maniac sometimes, really just because I come from wild, you know, revolutionary stock all the way back to the start of this country. It's incredible. We've done our genealogies on both sides of the family. It's just rebels and fighters of tyranny. I feel humble knowing who my ancestors are, constantly, always at the heart of revolutions. On both sides of my family, not bragging, heart of the revolution, literally starting the Texas Revolution. Literally starting the 1776. I mean, if I went through it all, it sounds arrogant. I'm not going to tell you who all my ancestors are. You know, going back to England, inventor of the stock exchange, all of it. Direct lines in my families on the male and female side, constantly interwoven, even though these families didn't even know that. You know, there's providence in all of this. And there are people out there that come from, you know, bloodlines of resistance against tyranny. And you need to be fighting evil as well. Joel, I'm kind of off there and, you know, left field in a way, but just that I just in my gut know I have a responsibility to fight evil. And then I know I'm a weak person. I feel bad that I'm not doing more. And then I look at other people who I know come from, you know, the old thing of uphold your family name, you know, stand up, you know, try to live up to your ancestors, quality. And as a child, I never understood that. As I get older, I realize more and more instinctively and at a spiritual level, that's what this is all about. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, it's absolutely true. I mean, there's a real spiritual level. I have a family background. My uncle was W. Cleon Skaus, the great patriot and constitutional scholar. And, you know, it influenced me. I can't deny the fact that I was greatly influenced by his book, The Naked Communist, where he outlined, you know, how the State Department was allowing communists to come in and infiltrate the government and overthrow countries like China and give them to the communists. It really was. Our heritage cannot be denied, and we have to work to fight for liberty, and it's a spiritual battle. As Dr. Monteith said, you know, the Brotherhood of Darkness is building the best money enemies that money can buy, and we do need people's prayers to help us through this.
Absolutely, and we need people, all of you out there probably have amazing people in your background, your mom, your dad, your great-grandfather. You know, our ancestors stood up against evil. They weren't perfect, but the reason the globalists like to tear down the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, what our founders did was, it was inspired of God. I've studied it. It was a very special time. And God has a plan for this country. That's why the devil has come here and taken over America to use it as an engine of global domination, because the fight for the future of humanity is here in the United States. There is no doubt that it was foreordained from the foundations of the world that the United States had an incredibly important destiny. We're going to play a short clip here to reconnect with you, Joel, and then do about 20 minutes with you. I know you've got to go here soon, but I want to get into the election, any type of false flag stuff you could be worried about, in any other areas we haven't covered with Joel Skousen of worldaffairsbrief.com. If we don't get it up there today, because the cover and the write-up, it's coming in a little bit earlier than I thought. If you want to start pre-ordering Strategic Relocation, it's going to be up today, if not tomorrow, at InfoWarsStore.com. Invaluable. I'm really proud of this film/presentation with Joel Skousen that we did when he was here about 5 months ago. We've just been working on it tirelessly since then. We actually had a lot of the project done, and then a strange thing happened. We had two computers. We had it backed up, and they both died, and we've actually, I don't want to make people paranoid, but we've confirmed we've had some stuff, people getting in here and trying to get at stuff and hacks and things. We're not sure if that's what that was, but we know they're trying to penetrate our networks. I've had a cybersecurity person in government call me and say, how are you even keeping your websites up? Well, by the grace of God, but and the great IT team, but it's finally done, and it's going to be up at InfoWarsStore.com. Let's go ahead. Guys, there's a whole laundry list of reports. Which ones have we not aired? In fact, can I have, it was in here when I left, the sheet of the different special reports, and then I can, fantastic. That'd be, we have a special report on Black Ops we haven't aired yet. Whose report is that? Is that Jakari Jackson? Okay, we're going to air his review of Black Ops 2, the video game, and then we're going to come back with Joel Scalzi. And Joel, how long can you stay with us when we come back?
As long as you need, Alex.
All right, well, we'll do about 20, 25 minutes. Then we're going to have the Ask Christie and then a little special report we haven't announced yet coming up here. So we're going to go to this Jakari Jackson, one of our great reporters, breaking down some of the brainwashing in the video games. And then we'll be back. We're going to reconnect via video Skype with Joel Scalzi. Spread the word, folks, on Twitter, Facebook, everywhere, about the special video and audio feeds at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And donate today. Those of you out there who want to help us get the word out to the world, we'll be right back.
Black Ops 2, the sequel to the best-selling game of all time, places the player in a year 2025 that isn't very far-fetched. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News. The original game was praised for its moderate historical accuracy. Let's analyze these new trailers to see if the same can be said for 2's dystopic future. Spoiler alert.
Unmanned armies, and no one ever asks. What happens when the enemy steals the keys?
Let's start with a look at future technologies.
Technology gets stronger, but we got weaker.
Now, believe it or not, everything in that clip is in various stages of production or completion. Take the nuke. The Brookings Institute reports that over 67,000 nuclear missiles have been built since 1951, a conservative number. Next, the tilt-rotor vehicles. The Osprey V-22 has come a long way since George Lauberger patented the tilt-rotor design in 1930. The walking tank is making fast strides at DARPA, as is the Pegasus drone. And drones are already flying the U.S. skies, even though they're vulnerable to hacks, and the Pentagon admits that they do not trust their own robots. Call of Duty chose a different approach with their villain this time, a hacker.
People in America idolizing their hero has wiped them out.
Cyber attacks are constantly in the news, but what's often left on the cutting room floor is that organizations such as the FBI have used hackers for illegal activities. And the NSA doesn't need hackers because they can tap your phone without a warrant.
The enemy could be anywhere, and it could be anyone.
The voice in that last clip belongs to Oliver North, the man at the center of the Iran-Contra scandal, where he and others sold U.S. arms to a foreign country outside of U.S. law. But if you try to buy a few boxes of bullets, you may get a call from your local state police. At the Contra hearings, North was also questioned about continuity of government plans, also known as Rex 84. Let's take a look at this clip that exposes the cover-up.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir.
A contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution, and I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made.
The cause of war in this game is the control of rare earth materials. Currently, China has a monopoly of over 95% of the materials.
We're bringing a new trade case against China. This case involves something called rare earth materials.
which are used by American manufacturers to make high-tech products like advanced batteries that power everything from hybrid cars to cell phones.
It's time for the spoiler. At some point in the game, drones are hacked and attack the G20 summit in the year 2025, leaving the player to defend the U.S. president in a war-torn Los Angeles. So there you go. Give up all your rights and sign up for the internet ID, or Anonymous is going to team up with the Dos Equis man and start blowing stuff up. Black Ops 2 is scheduled for release in mid-November. I'm Jakari Jackson for the InfoWars Nightly News.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
That's right, folks. It's no joke. And if you are out there listening to my voice, you are the resistance. We now have, I don't know, 9 reporters total, researchers, editors, and we can just churn out reports on popular culture, on the media, on military matters, on financial matters. And we're dominating anytime we're put up against the competition. I can get on a 1,000-watt AM station and go up against a 50,000-watt and in a year beat Rush Limbaugh in the ratings. It's unheard of. And that's been covered in Talkers Magazine, you know, trade publications. It's amazing because people are hungry for the truth. If they'll just let us engage them. And like Joel Skousen just said earlier, he shows his knowledge. Most people don't even know about this stuff. You can, if you'll pay for the satellite uplinks, you can get out there and say free to air and have a public contract. There are cable systems, TV stations, you name it, that will just put you on air. That's how, you know, the Iranians are on TV or the Russians or all these other little governments, because there's all these channels and the different systems want providers, but you've got to pay to be connected. Now, it's a lot cheaper if you go on 24 hours a day per capita. But obviously, we couldn't afford that because even though it's a third of the price or less, if you buy, you know, whole blocks out, you know, we're going to just try to buy an hour a day and put out the nightly news and then have sponsors, products, people supporting us, and then be able to pay for it, which I'm pretty sure we can do, and then expand that out and get on some markets in the U.S. which are already clamoring for it, which will bring in enough money through the few ads we'll have to pay for it. I mean, I've got a plan, and if I can implement it, and I believe we've got time, it will certainly change things, because the globalists aren't all powerful. They are shutting down some of the foreign TV networks that are getting on domestically. They've done that in Europe, but that's when they're about to go to war with them or talking about it. So it's a fight. We're already have cable systems in the U.S. and England picking up the show, downloading it. We got about 20 minutes left with Joel Skousen, and we are going to get Strategic Relocation up in the shopping cart very, very soon. The new film, you can pre-order that. It'll be shipping out in about 3 weeks. We're going to put a date on that. This kind of snuck up on me because I'm like, as soon as it's manufactured from 2 different manufacturers and in trucks, and then we do a little pre-order for folks, as soon as we know it's coming, we can put it up. And I actually would have had it up for pre-sale about a week ago, but I've been so busy. So pre-sale starts now. As soon as it gets up there, InfoWarsStore.com. Get his book, Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places. And we can show people a document cam shot of that. And also the Secure Home, third edition, Joel M. Skousen. Excellent to have this. Everybody should have this. So all 3 of these items, InfoWarsStore.com. When you're there, also get the magazines subscription at cost, or get them in bulk at cost, give them to friends and family in your area. Okay, Joel, I want to cover some other areas. What do you make of Mitt Romney? Because I know you didn't endorse him 4 years ago. And clearly the fact that, you know, Candy Crowley and others are trying to skew the debate, where that's going, what you think is going to happen in the election, and what you think will happen if Mitt Romney actually got in versus if Obama gets in. Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief.
Alex, this is a really timely topic. I'm glad I've got the opportunity to comment on it. The big problem that I see in internet
coverage of Mitt Romney is that too many of them are charging that this is another controlled candidate like Obama. He's a puppet of the New World Order and the establishment. They try to bring all kinds of superficial connections together to prove their point. Let me state clearly, first of all, before I start, that I am not in favor of Mitt Romney. I have not endorsed him. I will not endorse him. I heard Ron Paul here in Utah yesterday saying he's not going to endorse Mitt Romney. And there's a reason for that. Even though I do not believe he is a controlled insider, in fact, I can prove he's not an insider, Nevertheless, he is an overambitious person with conservative roots who is going to do as much damage to us as if he were a controlled insider. But it is indifferent from our analysis point of view, from our education as conservatives, to understand that this is a case of a person like Ronald Reagan, who was a compromiser but was a basic good conservative, who got into office without their permission, and they had to control him afterwards or during the process. And that's exactly what's happened. Let me give some examples. Now, as people might know from Ronald Reagan, he did make some severe compromises, even in gun control or against the Second Amendment people in California. They fought him tooth and nail towards getting the Republican nomination versus Rockefeller. He won, and they didn't intend him to win. A lot of people now know, because of my uncle's publication, that Reagan got into a meeting within an hour after his nomination with the three heads of the major networks, and they essentially threatened him that, we can make or break you in this campaign, depending on how we give you coverage. And then kind of a subtle incentive, we would look with favor upon your candidacy only if you would accept George H.W. Bush as your vice president, allow him to control your transition team and the personnel who will staff the White House. He accepted that deadly compromise, thinking that he could get around him. He was only the vice president if Bush would be in. But in fact, and Reagan did buck his staff and his national security advisor handlers, and that's why they threw an assassination attempt at him, to make him a believer that we really mean business. There's a danger in having a non-insider in the White House. That's why the establishment went out of their way to stop Mitt Romney in 2008, and to stop him in 2012. Anybody thinks that they would have thrown four candidates up against him, Perry, Kane, Gingrich, a real globalist, and Senator from Pennsylvania. In any case, they threw phony surges, push polling, to try to push four globalists up against it to deny his candidacy. They do not like people with their own money getting into the political process, avoiding the vetting that the media does, telling the American people who are the acceptable candidates in the Republican and Democratic Party. Both Ron Paul evaded that, and Mitt Romney evaded that. Mitt through money, and Ron Paul through building a major network of freedom-loving conservative libertarians. And the establishment equally tried to stop them. They really hated Ron Paul worse than Romney. But even after Ron Paul was out of the thing, they had to stop Romney. They couldn't stop him. He did get the nomination. And so now they're in the controlling mode. That is, trying to control him by surrounding him with establishment advisors. He chose the Darth Vader of the lobbying movement, Michael Chertoff and associates, to handle his transition and to handle his staffing. He brought in all kinds of neocon advisors, the worst of the PNAC groups, Project for the New American Century. And that's why Mitt Romney has the worst foreign policy record or platform, even worse than Obama, in terms of projecting the globalist New World Order continued intervention in the Middle East. But it's important to recognize that there's a difference between a controlled person like Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is a conservative Mormon. And Mormons have a particular political problem, and that is that because of their persecution background, they often feel like they want the world to accept them as the mild-mannered, easygoing Christians that they are, and overcome this persecution process ever since the days of polygamy, which they gave up in the late 19th century. They've been trying to get back into the mainstream. And this is a problem, especially for Mormon constitutional conservatives, because the Mormon doctrine and religion has a great deal of doctrine and topics about the fact that the Constitution inspired, and even better, in their Book of Mormon scripture, they have many statements from their early American prophets warning America about this conspiracy that they saw taking over the American government. So Mitt Romney should know about conspiracy, should be a believer in conspiracy. But basically, he's part of that clique of people who are praised because they make it in the world. And they feel like they're on a mission to save and bring their church out of obscurity, to bring their state out of obscurity, and gain recognition of the world by kowtowing to the establishment, by impressing the establishment. That's what happened to ex-Governor Mike Leavitt, who got into one of the cabinet positions with Bush. It's what happened to Governor Huntsman, who actually did join the New World Order. You can't get to be an ambassador to China unless you are part of the system, because that's one of the most key ambassadorships in terms of managing, you know, both the Chinese rise to power, which the globalists support, creating the best enemies that money can buy. And then, of course, you have Scowcroft, Brent Scowcroft, who's a Mormon, and Harry Reid. Now, these are a little different in the sense that these have never been active Mormons. They're really not believers. They only became active after the church showered them with affection because they were, or appreciation, and let them give speeches at Brigham Young University, praising them because they had made it to the top echelons in the world. But that, I see, is a major problem with the mainstream portion of the Mormon church of trying to pat Romney on the back for becoming governor, not worrying about the compromise he made to become governor of Massachusetts.
What do you make of Billy Graham, you know, coming out and you know, now giving his blessing, basically, to Mitt Romney? I mean, I see that as the establishment now kind of going, okay, maybe we can't beat him, so we'll give our little seal of approval.
Well, that's right, and that's why Henry Kissinger endorsed him. Henry Kissinger's born and bred in the establishment. In fact, he's probably second-level conspirator deep into it, and for him to endorse Romney has incited the right to think, he is, in fact, one of them. But he isn't an insider, and I'll tell you why. You're absolutely right. By the way, they're essentially trying to convince Romney that we're your friends, that you have won yourself our acceptance and you're into our inner circle and we can really help you. But Romney cannot be an insider, and that's because nobody gets on the inside without gross immorality of the heterosexual or homosexual variety. They prefer homosexual, like Obama.
I wanted to raise that. What about all these scandals of top BBC children's presenters, Sandusky, all that? I mean, whenever I do research, I just run into the elite, not just into, you know, adult-type stuff, but they're into, like, necrophilia, pedophilia. I mean, who are these people?
Well, actually, that goes back to the fact that this is a satanic conspiracy, ultimately, and Satan deals and promotes people who have gross sexual anomalies and problems. And that's why Mitt Romney will never be allowed into the inner circle of the inside. I know Mormon CIA people who joined the agency early on who have told me, my brother was, in fact, the CIA, and when they get sent overseas, my brother was an analyst, a low-level economic analyst. He touts that he was part of the CIA to brag his bio up a little bit, but in fact, he was never into anything. But too many people say, if you were a member of the CIA once, you're always a controlled CIA member. It isn't true. There's a vetting process. Like my Mormon friends who, when I went in the military, they went in the CIA or the FBI. At some point, they get put in front of a compromising situation to test whether or not they'll be immoral.
Yeah, you talked about that. They'll send a hooker to the room.
Exactly. That's what they did. They were overseas. They sent hookers to the room. Were paid by the CIA.
What is it about Texas? Because so many people, like when I've gone to family reunions and things and places, but then I've done more research since then. So many of the people in my extended family, great uncles, people like that, others. I mean, you'll be at a family reunion. There's like 20 CIA retirees there. And I guess when they'll say, well, they recruit heavily out of Texas, which is just strange. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. But the point is, so many of them said, well, you know, it's very immoral and I got out of it. So as you said, that, you know, they get out of it. I mean, I wasn't told this. My dad was. And I later asked him and he said, yeah, but you don't want to know about that. I mean, I had a great uncle, he's still alive, who was an army officer, and they recruited him when he was middle age and said, okay, well, now your final, you know, stuff you're supposed to do is basically deal drugs and kill people in Chicago, and he said no one got out. So you're right, there's a vetting. It isn't once in, always in. I mean, almost all these people that my dad's talked to, because you know they told him more, they all refused to be part of it and then got stuck in a desk job. So there's this continued thing going on, is my point.
Well, that's right. And as my buddy said, you know, I refused the prostitutes, and I never got promoted again after that. Now, what people have to understand, as part of my explanation, there's a dark side and a light side, a white side to the CIA, the DEA, the FBI, and they not only recruit heavily out of Texas, and that's not for the same reason they recruit heavily for Mormons. They recruit heavily for Mormons out of what Webster Tarpley mistakenly calls the Mormon Mafia, because they see a lot of Mormon agents in. And by the way, the Mormon Mafia that Tarpley refers to Howard Hughes hiring a lot of Mormon people for his security. And when Howard Hughes got a black reputation, they got a black reputation and were called the Mormon Mafia. But it was because they were predictable yes men, that Mormons who are taught to trust government, to trust the establishment, should become mainstreamers.
Why do they recruit out of Texas then separately?
Well, because Texas also has a good old boy reputation, and they are very good at getting Texans into the good old boy network, which is the dark side. Now, that doesn't mean...
No, I was about to say, everybody, they tried to recruit them all into really serious stuff.
That's right, because they think, you know, Texas also has a big Masonic connections where they use that good old boy network to get around traffic tickets and other things. And so the CIA has capitalized on that. They even have a annual roundup called the Good Old Boys Network, where they bring in all the various dark side operators from CIA, FBI, Secret Service, and you know, have a big carousing party and things. But it's important to remember that they can recruit Mormons mostly into the white side of the FBI, and very few of them ever cross over, because they are such predictable yes men to the establishment. And that's what Romney is. Romney's born and bred with that trust the government, make sure the government feels that you're friends. That's a point of view in Mormonism that's not shared by the constitutional conservative, which is about a third of Mormon. About a third, or, you know, just dumbed down into about a third, or pro-mainstream.
Very interesting perspective on all that, Joel Skousen, because obviously you're Mormon, so you can speak from within it. You know, expanding on this, and in a little bit of time we have left, you know, obviously they're both globalist puppets to one extent or not, but Obama does look very angry in these debates, like he's been told something. And that's what Lindsey Williams says from his source, who I know who it is. I mean, maybe he's giving him disinfo, I don't know, but that Obama's been told that kind of there's a power split, and that a lot of the establishment is going to go ahead and throw themselves behind Romney.
Well, that isn't true. You know, he's getting a lot of disinformation from a source, whether about the imminent.
Well, who do you think's going to win then?
Well, the establishment clearly wants Obama to win. They do not want Romney to win. They are scared to death that Romney is a very smart businessman, will see things, illegal actions in the White House, and he'll stop being the overly ambitious conservative, stupid compromiser, and suddenly get a fit of principles. Romney is a principled person. He just doesn't see that there's danger in government. He doesn't want to see that there's danger in government. He is continually convinced that he needs to please the establishment, and that could change. That's the only basic difference. In other words,
well, I think the reason he went up in polls is people liked that first debate where he wasn't being a little friendly Eddie Haskell type and was being more serious on Obama. Yeah. People liked that more aggressive executive look.
That's right. Now, Romney is not, in my opinion, going to help us. In fact, he's going to hurt us in the conservative movement, because he will end up talking people into compromises as if they're good things.
Well, that's what he said. He goes, well, I did want to restrict guns, but we compromised, and the hunters got something, and that was scary.
Yeah, that is scary. He is not a very strong proponent of the Second Amendment, especially for the right reason, that is to defend against tyranny. He does not believe in that, and so he could compromise in that, though clearly we know we'll get worse things under Obama. Now, I don't happen to think that even if Obama wins, that they've got enough for two-thirds majority to pass any of these onerous UN treaties, but the threat is looming large. That's eventually what they're going to try to do. I'm just very, very concerned that, you know, we're going to get four more years of Obama. I still think that people ought to vote on principle I'm not intending to vote for Romney. I want to send a message to the establishment that we will not vote for the lesser of two evils. I would rather that a compromising Republican lose rather than to put him into office and have him convince so many more conservatives that compromises are good.
Well, overall, I think it becomes a distraction what president we get, even though there are importances, you know, in different management structures that are behind each man. I mean, it's important, but compared to 8% turnout, local elections on average nationally, and 55, 56% for national presidential elections, sometimes even 60%, people need to just take their towns over. People need to stop counting on Ron Paul, Joel Skousen, Alex Jones, G. Edward Griffin, you know, whoever. People are always calling me, do this, do that. Look, I'm doing everything I can. You know, I left this morning with my kids begging me not to go. I'm not, you know, saying, oh, pat me on the back. I mean, I'm really making a sacrifice here. I'm very frustrated by other people not respecting themselves enough to see themselves as leaders. And I know everybody doesn't, you know, have that spark of leadership, but a lot of you do. And a lot of leaders actually think it's arrogant to go out and speak up and engage. And it's almost like hospitality, I've seen, to let people run over you. And so what I'm going to say here is, folks, it's time to grow a backbone. I know a lot of you have it, and you've sat back because you're afraid of what you'll do once you start rolling. Well, look, this is not the time for sitting back or even half measures. And it's not the time to overcalculate everything when you first get going. So many people want to come up with a big plan they never executed. Just call into talk radio. Go into city council and speak about whatever issue. Go to the state legislature. Go meet your congressman or woman when they're at the local grocery store doing a meet and greet or church. Go, if your church is pushing anti-gun, anti-family crud and bringing in consultants and all this federal takeover, get up and say, hey, this church started to take federal money. We're being controlled. You know, get aggressive, because we have to be the salt of the earth here. And, you know, and it's other things. Help the Salvation Army. Go out on the day before Christmas or whatever and help the homeless. You know, there's a lot of little things you can do. Just bring light to the world, because the darkness wants everybody to think there is no light. I notice I get attacked by the globalists and their COINTELPRO constantly saying I'm not real or I'm not good. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I'm certainly not good. And you know, and I've tried to stop, and I've quit any tobacco products over the years so I can be healthier off and on. You know, I've been chewing tobacco since I played baseball in high school. And, you know, drink beer and stuff sometimes. I pretty much quit doing that until I go out to a party or something. That's why I try to just never go to parties. But don't let the system sit there and tell you you're bad. Oh, because you're a patriot, you shouldn't make money. Or, what are you doing getting up at city council giving us your views? They'll laugh at you to make you feel small. So many good people who are good in their hearts, we sit there and feel like we're bad because we have a conscience. And so we don't do anything because, well, we're bad. No. If you love good, you're good. You need to go out and fight evil. And the reason I get into this is it's something I see in so many really good people. They won't go out and get engaged because they're so humble. They think of it as bad to go out and even expose evil because they're not perfect. Well, then how could they go out and fight evil? And I'm kind of boiling this down here, Joel, of something I've noticed while so many good, well-spoken, powerful people never step into the power they have that God's given them because, you know, they think it's uppity. I mean, how would you quantify what I'm saying, or do you disagree?
No. It really is difficult for most people to get into a fighting stance because they, you know, we live under illusions of prosperity, illusions of peace, and it's dissipating out from underneath our feet. People would rather somebody else do it, like you or I, get out there in the front rows and do it themselves. And to a certain extent, you got to have the stomach for it. You've got to have a certain level of courage. You've got to have a wife or, you know, children that support you, knowing that you're at risk. You know, you're at risk. I'm at risk. But somebody's got to take this risk. And I'm not for pushing everyone to do what we do. I'm for pushing those that have the power, that have the guts to do it, to get out there and be more active. Because ultimately, and my position has been, the most risky position you can take is to be a believer in conspiracy. Both of theory and of facts. We won't always have all the facts because it's secret. But this is the only thing that's going to save us, and that's why I'm a great promoter of your site, Infowars.com. I go there every day to make sure I haven't missed something, because you guys are so good at picking up things. And I think it's extremely important. The only way that we're going to win is to convince enough people in the society that there is a massive conspiracy against liberty here, and that it's not a matter of trusting a milquetoast, middle-of-the-road Republican to save us. They're not going to save us. Only a person who understands the nature of the conspiracy is going to be able to get inside and clean house, as difficult as that may be. And Ron Paul, for all of his faults about not seeing conspiracy because he didn't want to see, still had absolute integrity, and I knew that he wouldn't have stood for any fault or all, any illegal actions in government. They would have had to kill him, in fact, because just the principled man inside government can do a great deal of damage to this conspiracy.
Exactly. A lot of times, just not compromising and just doing the right thing. I mean, look, we're going to save society by not cheating on our wives. We're going to save society by not cheating in business. We're going to save society by being good. And it sounds cheesy out there. Well, that's because the system's made it cheesy. Let me tell you, the children, the society collapsing, all the terrible things that are happening, the devil has sold evil as if it's fun. And the truth is, folks, it's not fun. And so just speaking up, saying no in little ways will give you more courage. I just know there are a lot of amazing people out there who are eloquent and who are strong and have financial means as well, who go, oh, no, I don't want to, you know. Again, it's not even out of fear. They just, it's I've talked to these people. It's more of, well, I that's kind of arrogant to go shove myself into things and get in people's face. No, it's not, ladies and gentlemen. We have to go confront these people. Let me tell you, when you confront these globalists, you confront their minions, they get freaked out. They're scared of us. And you have to get to the point where I know it's embarrassing when they're scared of you, because we're not bullies, but they're the enemy. They've got to be dealt with, and we've got to be aggressive with them. And it doesn't mean, you know, we're like corrupt cops enjoying people scared of us. We have to like drive these people out. And it comes up. And the thing is, you have power. People don't realize how much power you've got when you stand for what's right. And so just take action. In closing here, any other tidbits you'd like to add? Joel Skousen with us. We're going to go to break with a special report Dan Badani did on flu season and all that propaganda. We're going to come back with about 30 minutes of Christy Ask Alex, because we didn't finish that yesterday. And then we've got another big special report here. We are now 48 hours, 16 minutes into transmission here with Joel Skousen, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I tend to get overwhelmed with information, Joel, and then I get here on air and just go in all directions and get mad and blow up. But, you know, to quantify this, I've known Ron Paul for 17 years. I've talked to him, you know, off air quite a few times. I knew Rand, probably one of the first people to ever get him on, about 15, 16 years ago. He's running for re-election. Ron Paul was busy. He'd just been on. And I said, what about somebody in his office? And he goes, well, Rand's going to start doing interviews. He's campaigned before, but not really done interviews. Would you like Rand Paul on? So, and this is like 14, 15, I don't know, 16 years ago. I'm one of the first people to ever interview Rand Paul. I privately on the phone, you know, at his house in Kentucky, you know, I'm not bragging, but I said, you know, listen, you're going to win this. I can tell in my gut. And you've got your dad's name. If you just live up to that, you could end up being president. And I knew it in my gut. And I said, do it. And it was my listeners from Texas that actually went up there and formed the core of his campaign. So then I got hurt and got mad, not even so much at him coming out and endorsing Romney, because I understand overall, you know, he wants to get accepted by the Republican establishment. But I tried to explain to him on and off air. I said, you're going to lose your credibility with people that have supported your dad, because it's one thing if you don't, you know, support the Republican Party if you think it's better. But, you know, getting out there, I go, this will, once you start compromising, it's over. But what really makes me mad is some of his head campaign people, some of Ron Paul's, you know, who even wrote articles when we were at Bilderberg saying you shouldn't be at Bilderberg, libertarians, this makes us look bad, when Ron Paul's exposed Bilderberg on this show. And then taking money from Peter Thiel, the Bilderberg guy. And you know, Bilderberg trying to bring them in for their own brand. Ron Paul's not part of that. And I know, I understand what Rand thinks he's doing. But finally, he's kind of getting away from Romney on the neocon stuff, stepping back, because I think they realize that, hey, just because the devil put his arms around you and it was warm doesn't mean he's your friend. And so I'm torn by it. But I think the thing that makes me maddest about it is that Rand let his surrogates, who were running things, Jesse Benton and that Hunter guy and others, come out and actually go after Ron Paul's base that recognize the integrity, and I think it's a bad miscalculation, even from a cold-blooded stance. I know Rand Paul better, really, than Ron Paul behind the scenes, and Rand is a good guy. Rand knows about the New World Order and the Bilderberg Group, and until just 6 months ago, he would talk about it. Now when reporters bring it up, he walks away, and I don't know if they dug something up or what, but it is very painful to see Rand Paul beginning to get sucked in by the dark side. And I have to say it. I mean, you know, again, it's not just that, oh, you know, they endorsed Romney or, oh, they didn't go to Paul Fest or, oh, whatever. I mean, I'm seeing really, I can just look at, and I know behind the scenes too, Jesse Benton and some of the other guys. I mean, some of these guys are grasping political operatives now working for mainline Republicans. And to see the whole Ron Paul revolution sucked away by a bunch of pissants, to use the term, excuse my French, I mean, it's disgusting, and I'm ranting now, but do you have any comments on that?
Well, they haven't turned Rand Paul. He hasn't been guilty of anything that could blackmail him, but he has succumbed to the fear that if I ever utter anything that could be construed as being in favor of conspiracy or understanding this globalist conspiracy, that I'll be blackballed. In other words, he's starting to bend to the very obvious political doctrine, mainstream doctrine, that in fact you cannot win if you touch conspiracy. And he will, and even Ron Paul bought into that. I mean, Ron Paul actually believes in conspiracy, but he cannot, he doesn't want anyone to brief him on him. He doesn't want to know too much for fear that he'd have to lie if they ever, in the media, ask him a direct question about it. And Ron Paul wants to remain honest, but we cannot win this battle without understanding the issue of conspiracy. We have to be credible about it. In the next year or so, I'm going to be doing a new video on the modern history of conspiracy in government, and it should be a real blockbuster. I'll be talking to you about that later, Alex. But anyway, we need to continue to fight the way that you're doing. I really appreciate what you're doing, and people need to be careful not to try to push too much at people who are resistant. We need to find the remnant. We need to find people who sense that something's wrong, not spend our capital and spin our wheels trying to convince people who are keeping their head buried in the
sand. By the way, I agree with you. When I was calling on people to get involved, I meet incredible people from great families, successful in business, who have that electricity in their eyes. You can tell, you know, like you look up to them, people I've known for years, you know, this is a really good person. They have a good aura, you know, too. I'm not being a cultist, but you know what I mean? You know, a really good spirit. Yes. And I'm like, you need to go fight. And it's not that they're even afraid. They're like, well, me, I'm not a, again, it's a humbleness, and it's this humbleness that's holding them back. And I don't understand it.
Well, it just takes a lot more courage. And to a certain extent, Alex, it takes a certain innate fighting spirit, and everybody doesn't have that. So I would be cautious that everybody isn't going to be able to fight the way that we fight. I think it's sufficient for people who can't to help support us financially and to support our work and to spread the word to other people. But I think there's something that everybody can do, and they need to all come up another notch in drive to be able to pursue what they are capable of doing.
I agree with you. In the 3 or 4 minutes left we've got, I just want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, it's up. And again, I do so much, I'm not whining, it's just that's my excuse for getting things done haphazardly. I apologize to Joel for taking 4 or 5 months to get this out, but in a way it turned good. You know, the wine got better because it is, it's a film now. It's not just a presentation. Strategic Relocation, you can order it at InfoWarsStore.com. That's part of the Money Bomb. All the proceeds of the whole week, books, videos, water filters, T-shirts, ball caps, all of it's going into the Money Bomb. Plus, once that's added in, it's going to boost it quite a bit. It's now over $300,000, which sounds like a lot. I mean, again, I'm like a kid in a candy store looking at all these satellites I want to get onto and the audiences they reach. We could reach just tens of millions more a week that have never heard us. People that don't even really have internet, churches all over that have, you know, satellite. We can use the internet to promote it to those people so others can tell them about it. It's amazing. So your donations are coming in. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I want to thank you. But Strategic Relocation, the book, The Secure Home, the book by Joel Skousen, all available at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com has links. And now, today, great job of the crew getting it up today because I knew these were coming in. I'm like, well, go ahead and get it up now since he's on the show. InfoWarsShop.com. You can pre-order that. It'll ship out in 2 to 3 weeks. Pre-order start now. InfoWars. has it available right now. We produced it, Joel Skousen, and it's really a film. In fact, I'm going to redo the cover when we reprint. We've printed, 10,000 copies, which will probably go very quickly. That's why we have to say it ships in 3 weeks. I have to get part-time people in just to be able, when a new film comes out, and then rotate them out on top of the six people we've got working in the shipping department back there. So 10,000 of these printed. That's what it is. It's like paper, but it's a DVD. Really high quality. I'm really proud of the film. And the guys, we shot from five different cameras. That's what took so long to edit it, was to get it all together and have the best cameras and, you know, tweak the audio and everything. But strategic relocation, you can go read about it. It's the film that goes with the book. So get them both right there at InfoWarsStore.com today, or 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And when the next printing comes out, I'm going to call it a film, because it's called Alex Jones Interviews Joel Skousen on Safe Places and How to Secure Your Home. And it's InfoWars.com presents Strategic Relocation, edited by Rob Jacobson. Graphics, Darren McBreen. Music, Will Jones. Produced and directed by Alex Jones. Featuring Joel Skousen. We're going to add featuring Joel Skousen on the next print. I don't know how that didn't get on there, but it doesn't matter. He's not egomaniac. And so we will get that out to everybody. And it, again, it's powerful. And it was he was in town, close out to where I live. And I don't want to get into the, he didn't tell me any details, but, you know, building a fortified location. And he's so busy, though, now. Joel, I think that's something we ought to talk about in closing, because that's key intel without giving away any secrets. Everybody I talk to in bomb shelter construction or secure home construction, I know a guy outside Austin, a guy worth hundreds of millions, who's built, you know, one of these $3 million concrete jobs under, you know, out by the lake. I mean, this is a big deal, and they're not doing it for 2012. You know, I've had some shelter makers on. They go, "Oh, I think it's 2012." I mean, clearly, it's geopolitical in nature, it's military in nature, it's nuclear in nature. Tell us about the. The Ozarks, giant elite compounds being built. What is going on, Joel Skousen?
Well, it's really true. I mean, for years, of course, ex-CIA and government people have been building major shelters in the ski resorts of Colorado and other places, knowing that a major nuclear war was coming. And it used to be that then, in terms of the people I dealt with, it was only conservatives, arch-conservatives, who felt that something was coming, didn't have a lot of money, would really have to work under the do-it-yourself aspect. And now people with major funds are coming out of the water. I'm just swamped with not only consultation but design work all across the country for people building high security residences and retreats. But it's interesting to note, and that's why people really need to get my books, is that a lot of people make big mistakes in terms of making it too high profile and making it look like a fortress, which is just like waving a great big flag of come and get me. You know, people need to
You want a hidden hobbit hole, don't you?
That's right. You want it to look completely conventional. You want to make sure that everything you have is sensitive is concealed, so that if somebody walks through the house or pillaging comes through, you can leave the door open and they still can't find what you have. And even if government comes to search, which they will someday under the confiscation laws, they can't find what you have.
Executive orders.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I believe that we have more time, Alex, than a lot of people who are claiming imminent collapse. I still don't think people ought to procrastinate the relative good times we have to build these things and to have equipment that's available. And someday it's not going to be available when you need it.
I agree. Strategic Relocation, the film. Guys, let's add on the shopping cart the film. I think we can, a documentary film and presentation. I think we can call it documentary film. Because I made that decision like 2-3 weeks ago when it went to be mastered 2 weeks ago. And I was like, this is a film, what we've ended up making. And we might even just say directed by Alex Jones, because, I mean, people tend to respect something more if it's a film. And, I mean, it really is more of a film than it is a presentation, but it is mainly Joel sitting there talking. But there's video clips and documents and just so much research we did into backing up everything that Joel talks about. Strategic Relocation. Alex Jones interviews Joel Skousen on Safe Places and How to Secure Your Home. And again, great job to the weekend crew who've been here all week in there getting that up on short notice. I told some of the graphics guys when we knew it was done and completed, I said, go ahead and tell them to go up with it as soon as the trucks are coming with the DVDs. And I guess that didn't get relayed, but it's up there now. Pre-order, and we'll just ship it out to you, say, in 3 weeks. So that'll be, I don't know if it's the 20th, you know, by the 7th, 10th or so of November. Hard to believe the election is almost here. Specifically, Joel, on the rioting, we just picked up on a bunch of people on Twitter and Facebook threatening to riot or kill Mitt Romney. The White House, through their surrogates at Think Progress and others, said we were making it up, basically, since then the Secret Service has responded and admits there are thousands of these going on. I mean, I'm not even saying that's going to happen so much, but why were groups allowed to push that? And then when I talk about it, they imply it isn't true. And do you have any concerns if Romney is elected? Or it sounds like you're saying you think Obama's going to get elected.
Yes, I think they want Obama. They're going to pull out up to 10% of electronic voter fraud in this to make sure that he's elected. But I think that what we saw was a wave of hate response from the left threatening Romney, and obviously the Secret Service should be getting after them. Whenever anyone on the right hints about something violent, they send stormtroopers into their house. They won't do that with these people, but I don't think there's going to be a major October surprise. I think they're going to be able to get Obama. They were going to use an attack on Iran as the possible October surprise to boost Obama's reelection. I don't think they're going to have to do that, and they're not ready to attack Iran yet. So I think we're going to see a normal election, no major crises before then, but they'll pull out the electronic voting fraud to make sure that Obama wins. Now, let me just say before I close, though, that Romney is ahead in the real polls. They are going to have to pull out up to 10% in order to get Obama reelected because the phony polling has been understating Romney's support.
Yeah, well, there's so many other questions I could ask you. We're going to go to break here in a moment and come back with an Ask Christy and then another special report going over 48 hours here in the Money Bomb just because we got behind with other guests keeping them longer, so we're about an hour or so behind here. Speaking with Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, while you're talking, I have so many questions, and I think of the next question. I'm trying to remember what my other question was for you, but, you know,
I'm sure we could be on another time together and discuss things.
What do you make of the 1.6 billion bullets?
Oh, well, you know, there's a couple things. My son works for a military contractor, and first of all, he said those contracts are for maximum amounts, don't actually represent the amounts actually ordered, which will be less than that for contracting purposes. They always pick some pie-in-the-sky feature. Now, that isn't to say that they aren't doing this. The Department of Agriculture and IRS have no business even putting that much quantity in their orders. The point is, I think, either they're trying to curtail the market on ammunition to drive up the price.
That's what gun insiders, big company owners, have told me. That's why they'll buy up any amount of Barretts they make, 50 cal out of Tennessee, that it is a directive to get these out of the hands of the people.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on. But still, there's a long-term agenda with prison camps and other things that are being built to be able to take down American people. The quantity bullets are more than enough to kill all Americans three times over, so I'm not sure.
So what is the scenario with the prison camps then? Because it is now in official Army manuals, the term re-education camp. Yeah. Why would they even use the Soviet term?
Well, I think it's important to realize that they are going to round up all dissidents. I don't think it's imminent. I don't think martial law is imminent. I think it's going to come when this major attack comes. They're going to swoop down and say there are people among us who believe that we were responsible, that we didn't see this threat coming, that we purposely didn't prepare, like they believe in 9/11 as a government. And that those people are enemies of the state. They're not supporting our troops and need to be rounded up. They'll task Americans to turn in their fellow Americans and put them in re-education camps. And I think it's very real, not imminent, but very real, and that we need to prepare not only to fight that, to make sure it doesn't happen, but prepare to
go underground if
it does happen.
I agree. The only way I see them really being able to mass round up is if a bunch of cities get nuked, people will get so scared, and then they're not going to care if the troops get chewed up going after people, because that's part of the larger plan. This is my final question. It's what I meant to ask you. Again, I know you defined it somewhat, but the three different power blocks, obviously, you know, they're trying to push Russia into something or trying to invite the attack. Obama saying get rid of nukes and things, obviously just to cover. Again, who do you really see winning, you know, in this master plan? I mean, is the Anglo-American establishment the most powerful?
It is. There are three major power blocks: Russia, China, and the Anglo-American establishment, the globalist conspiracy as we know it. And the Russians and Chinese both would like to capture a new world order for their own self. They are temporarily aligned. I believe that during this war, when Russia and China join together to attack, China stays on the eastern seaboard protecting Russia's rear, that China will turn against Russia sometime during the new world, the attack on the West, and the West will make a pact with China to give them military aid and other things if they turn against Russia, just as the U.S. The West made a pact with the Soviets to turn against Hitler. And so I think it's going to be Russia will be eliminated in the Third World War. China will become the new Cold War enemy, and that will justify, very important point, will justify Russia, I'm sorry, justify the United States and Europe of maintaining this new world order organization as a militarized world government.
Yes.
because of the threat of China.
Well, George Orwell, who was Eric Blair, British intelligence, Indian police before that, worked for the communists, then worked in BBC and propaganda, his character, Winston Smith, with the Ministry of Truth, that's him. And he actually wrote a lot of essays and talked about this. But he said that book is basically what Ingsoc English socialists wanted. And in the book, we understand they'd put the communists in power. They'd created these enemies, but there was conflict. And the government was staging terror attacks, you figure out. There's total surveillance. And in that, that's what's happened. Russia's basically gone. All it is Airstrip 1, England and the U.S., and a kind of destroyed, demilitarized Europe against Asia. And it's crazy. He wrote that in 1947, 48. And then now the world you're talking about is a 1984 world.
That's right. And I think my prognostication will be correct someday. People will see that I'm vindicated.
What do you say about Orwell, though? Because he's a post-nuke, Anglo-American, Russia-destroyed versus Asia world. I mean, he was at the highest levels of Ingsoc. Do you think that's why he knew that?
I think so. They have plans far in advance of what they've even told other people. I mean, the people at the very top. I personally think, as I say, there's a satanic a component to this conspiracy, and I think they get revelation from the dark side about future things.
Amazing. All right, Joel Skousen, and I'd like to talk to you soon. In fact, maybe during this break I'll come out and ask you about that video project. That's exciting. I'd like to work with you on that. That's a good idea.
Great.
I want to see what you think of this project. We're going to send you a disc, Monday, because these just came in a few days ago, the check disc. So look forward to talking to you. Thank you so much, Joel. I'll talk to you in a moment.
My pleasure.
All right, there goes Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief. Whether you agree with him on everything, agree with him on some things, it's important. People say, well, this guy said this and this guy said that. We don't get talking points here. We're having almost like a college of discussion. It's a bunch of different people. Doesn't mean I have all the answers. Doesn't mean any of our guests have all the answers. We're all human. We're here just having this discussion. World Affairs Brief, of course, is his website. We should give that out or just type in Joel Skousen, and you will... You will find his website, joelskousen.com. We'll also get you there to his site. You can get his World Affairs Brief and more. worldaffairsbrief.com is also, we'll get you to the site. We can punch that up actually on screen for people there. I have it on my monitor. Commentary and insights on a troubled world. Some of the best insights out there. But again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get Strategic Relocation, the new film with Alex Jones, Joel Skousen, just amazing. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsShop.com will get you there, or InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, and purchasing it will support you and your information and get Strategic Relocation, the big color-filled book. Look at this book. I mean, just all these color maps, totally broken down. I mean, there's little areas of the country that I know intimately, and he knows all about them in here. Very impressive. This is not a flim-flam or somebody that hasn't done deep research. This is preeminent information on some of the safest places in North America. And you've also got his, it's the preeminent book, The Secure Home, Third Edition, Architect, Design, Construction, Remodeling, and Self-Sufficient Residences and High Security Retreats. If you're a builder or, you're getting a builder, this has the specifications. This is needed for anybody in construction. Available at InfoWarsStore.com. We're going to go to break here with a Dan Bedondi special report. We're going to come back in about, 8-9 minutes with Ask Christy for about 30 minutes. And then we've got another special report we're going to be getting into. We are live. We are 48 hours, 38 minutes into the global money bomb, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or 888 888- 253-3139 if you want to call and donate to help expand this operation. We'll be right back with Christy Hightower. Ask Alex. I want to thank all of you out there for donating and the crew in there. Stay with us. Hi, this is Dan Bedondi reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. Summer has come to a close as we move rapidly to the fall season. It's time for big propaganda by Big Pharma to make big money. This scaremongering is what the mainstream media calls the flu season. This is a time of year that you will see commercials on your TV, signs at pharmacies, and even at Walmart to say, get your flu shots now. You will be bombarded with propaganda by your doctors, your children's schools, and in some cases, even your employer. They will tell you that it is not only mandatory, but a policy, when in fact, there is no law. And the London Telegraph reports that flu jab linked to fits under fives on over 110,000 children were linked with a tenfold increase in fits. And doctors should stock alternative vaccines for under fives who are due to have the seasonal flu vaccine this winter. The action is being taken as a rate of convulsions caused by high fever among children in Australia given the jab was 10 times higher than normal. Up to 1 in 100 children given the jab suffered febrile convulsions in the following hours and days. And it goes on to say that seasonal flu vaccines contain three strands which have been identified by the World Health Organization as the most common in circulation that year. This year, the vaccines contain the pandemic strand H1N1. And ABC News reports that whooping cough vaccine protection short-lived studies warn. And they're saying that experts urge Americans to protect themselves with booster shots. Protection against whooping cough declines during 5 years after vaccine is given to a 4 to 6 year old child, a new study suggests. That's a lot of vaccines in 6 years, folks. An outbreak of whooping cough in California led experts to conclude that the current DTaP vaccine for children has not worked as well as older versions from nearly 2 decades ago, according to the new study in Thursday's New England Journal of Medicine. Whooping cough, formerly called pertussis, is deadly for infants, with outbreaks occurring every few years despite vaccinations. Again, despite vaccinations. Now, here they are warning you that the vaccines don't work. But go on to say, until then, the current vaccine is safe and effective. It just doesn't last as long as we would like. And parents should know that some protection is better than no protection. That's a contradiction. How about no vaccine is better? Speaking of schools, GlobalGazette.com is reporting that flu clinics scheduled at school functions. The Cerro Gordo County Department of Health will offer school-based flu clinics at various school functions. It's a convenient opportunity for the whole family to get vaccinated against the flu, said Karen Crimmins. She also states that we plan on to offer both the shot and the Miss Flu vaccine at these clinics. And this also goes back to 2010. ABC reports, family school gave daughter H1N1 vaccine without consent. A California family said a school violated their right to choose and jeopardize their daughter's health by giving her the H1N1 vaccine. Parent Jose Gomez said he made it very clear in the consent form that he did not want his daughter to be vaccinated, but she was anyway. And it states that last week, Martha was pulled out of class, and during an on-site clinic, she was given the vaccine. And we just talked about the on-site clinics. And Martha said, the daughter, I was very upset because nobody did anything when I said no. And Martha said she told a school security guard and the nurse who administered the shot that her parents were against it, but was told they had probably changed their mind. Unbelievable. And speaking of exemptions, folks, a report from Melissa Melton, our very own lovely reporter from Infowars.com, reports that New Jersey attempts to strip parental rights with vaccine anti-exemption bill. And it's reported that Senate Bill 1759 was approved 6-2 by the state's Senate Health, Human Services, and Senior Citizens Committee last week. The bill would place a greater burden on parents to clarify a valid reason for not wanting their kids to be vaccinated.
It would define and further restrict what the definition of a valid reason is, limited options for opting out. That, folks, that is against parental rights. And it's not only the children, folks. Now they're going after the senior citizens. And this next report by Alpha.org states that federal advisors say enhanced flu vaccine may suit seniors. The CDC, known as the Center of Disease Control, appointed Advisory Committee on Immunizations Practice, says a new, more powerful flu vaccine should be considered for nation seniors. And in the article, they state that called Fluzone High Dose, developed specifically for seniors, the vaccine has quadruple, that's four times the amount, folks, of immunity-building antibodies as standard influenza vaccine. In other words, four times the mercury, folks, four times the poisoning. And they state that each shot will be about $25, which is nearly twice the cost of the standard vaccine. Now, why do they want to poison the seniors even more? Could this be part of the Obama's healthcare end of life program? Big Pharma creates resistant tuberculosis white plague. This is reported by thenaturalsociety.com. And they state, again, Big Pharma creates resistant white plague through mass drugging. And through the article, it states that the disease is a totally man-made disease. Now, this is being reported by members of the World Health Organization Stop TB, that's Tuberculosis Partnership, outraged over the man-made disease progression, with member Lucika Dito stating that the drug-resistant TB is totally man-made disease. Again, a member of the World Health Organization is stating that TB is a man-made disease. Now, they manufacture these diseases so you can take the vaccinations. And parents, if you think getting your children vaccinated is going to protect them against everything, well, the latest research shows vaccinated children are more chronically ill than non-vaccinated children. And this is reported from naturalnews.com. And the article says that research has shown that vaccinated children are more chronically ill than their non-vaccinated counterparts. According to the CDC, the number of vaccines that are given to the children has increased more than three times in the last 29 years. In 1983, the children were given 10 shots from birth to 6 years of age, compared to 36 to 38 for the same age group in 2012. And it goes on to say that vaccines can carry with them very serious side effects, ranging from mild complications such as fever or rash to major issues such as seizure and death. Children who are lucky enough to evade any major difficulties can carry with them health problems that will last for the rest of their lives. Folks, this is a very important issue that must not be ignored. Be responsible as a parent and for your own health. Do the research. Arm yourself with the truth so when you are confronted by a vaccine pusher, you can just say no. You and your child's life depend on it. In part two of this special report, we will reveal statistics that Big Pharma and the CDC use to justify poking you with the vaccine. I urge you to purchase this book, Don't Vaccinate Before You Educate, by Meyer Eisenstein. All the information you need to know about child vaccinations, it's available right now on InfoWarsStore.com. And this is Dan Bedondi reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News.
Sky is gray.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And hey, listen, I want to thank everybody that's donated. We're over 300,000 now. And I know it usually trails in for a few days after. If you believe in what we're doing and want to see it happen on a higher level, then please go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and continue to donate, continue to spread the word about the video feed. We're getting up close to 100 terabytes here in the last few days. It's well over 50, trending towards 100 terabytes. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of connections just watching the free video feed. And then there's always the audio feeds. And hey, have we decided that when we end the main Money Bomb transmission here in a little while, what we're going to re-air until the Sunday radio show 4 to 6? Have we decided that? But is somebody going to have to sit here and do that with the highlights? Oh, you guys are incredible. I tell you. The crew is awesome. It is kind of like we're cannibalizing ourselves. Even beyond the air, it's costing money. Please go donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, but not if you're not doing well financially. Those of you that are doing well, You know, get in there, donate so we can get free-to-air satellite systems and get the TV show out to millions more people. That's how all this gets done. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or buy Strategic Relocation. The new film is being announced today. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com. There's a lot of other points that need to be made before we go to Christy. She was laughing yesterday. I go, yeah, let's do the Ask Christy on air. It's like, it's the Ask Alex. We're gonna... But Christy, what do you think so far? I mean, I should add, we did a two-hour interview, or almost 2 hours, with David Icke.
Yeah.
And it was the most hardcore interview I've ever heard. And then it did stream out to the stations that are picking us up, and the internet didn't have a problem. I noticed when I went to YouTube this morning, it had, you know, tens of thousands of views with no audio.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened when it got uploaded, but that's what happens when you got people working too much. That wasn't on our end. So it will be re-uploaded, but everybody's requesting it and chomping at the bits. So you're going to get an hour and 50 minutes of that here in about 30 minutes when Christy and I officially, you know, in the Money Bomb. And it's going to be highlights and some of the more powerful interviews aired right through until tomorrow at 2 p.m. when the Sunday radio show, 2 p.m., 4 p.m., I guess 2 p.m. somewhere in the world, Pacific, 2 p.m. out in California, out in Cali. So that is coming up. David Icke, let me tell you, it's good when he first comes on. It starts getting into the globalist networks and the Satanism stuff. It's unbelievable, but it's so much of it is documented. It was shaking me up, even though I know a lot of what he's saying can be documented with all the news coming out. So that's coming up with David Icke and a lot more. But we are live right now at 11:50. We are 48 hours and 50 minutes and 16 seconds into this. Christy Hightower.
I'm tight here.
Christy, I only got you on for like 10 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
And you've been up, I guess, all night with the Twitter, Real Alex Jones. Well, I mean, overall, you've been here now 7 months. How much have you seen it expand?
Oh, well, actually, on the video that Ortiz did, it's been blowing up. Like, I got here and it was a quiet little office, and 2 months in, boom, we've got 6 new graphics people, and boom, we have new reporters, and every time I turn around...
When did you get here? 6-7 months ago?
Yeah, about 7 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, right before it just started to expand, and it's awesome. These reporters are, especially during the Money Bomb, I've seen, you know, Dan Bedondi with his Illuminati at night, and, you know, Ortiz and his interviews and all these things, like... People are doing great jobs, and you've done a good job hiring really cool people. Not to mention myself. I told the guys, I said, I need good lighting in here, guys. We've been awake for so long.
You look great. Hey, guys, do the document cam shot out there, like a Max Cabrera race car driver. Him and Richard Reeves both were actually race car drivers, real ones.
The whole IT crew.
Let's get Max Cabrera race car driver in here. I don't want to come in. Didn't we have a camera that shoots through the window? You guys can see yourselves.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, you did? Okay. All right, anyways. And did I see Gimli out there as well? That's CJ there. They're trying to shoot from cameras out here into
that's
there.
That's cool. A little shadow.
Like he's frozen in there in a block of ice. Okay. All right. Hey, seriously, Christy.
Okay, let's get down to business.
No. Overall, what's your take on InfoWars?
InfoWars is growing, and I think it's reaching a really great audience. And I think the expansion of all the... Oh, I had to give you a hard time. Yeah. This is how we survive around here, guys. This and the pollen burst and all that.
No, but you came in here and it's sitting over there.
I gave him a hard time. I said, Alex, I'm totally going to give you a hard time for this on air. But yeah.
Supposed to be off camera.
I don't mind if I do, actually. But it's been great, honestly, because you reach a certain target audience, and now you're bringing on these great reporters who reach, you know, their own unique audiences. And, you know, there's so much to be covered that one man can't do it all. So I'm really glad you've hired so many great people. So,
you know, I have this little crab cup here. I'll show people this. Like my wife's sign. I'm not even into all that astrology stuff, but it is a crab. A little crab right there.
I'm crabby when I don't have my coffee.
Oh, I like little crab. It's a cute little. Anyways, now I'm going to give her a kiss. Anyways, I think she's listening with the kids right now. I was supposed to meet them for lunch in about 30 minutes, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Aw.
I hope people will donate. And because, look, what I've done is I've taken the extra backup capital we have, because any business that, you know, really wants to keep running into the future and our business is getting the word out has some backup capital, but I stuff's so serious. I'm just putting it all in to try to expand the magazine, TV, and because everything we do is successful by the grace of God and people spreading the word.
Yeah, it's
our success. Rest on you out there. But I just want to say the entire crew. I keep saying this. Just fabulous job. Round of applause.
Woo!
telling you, it's the best money bomb ever. I almost didn't do a money bomb this year because I'm like, look, I can just get some sponsors or hustle. But then I spend all my time doing ads on air.
Yeah.
It's like we either do this or I take even more ads on the show.
Right.
Because they'll go out and sell ads, live plugs on air.
Mm-hmm.
They've always got to refund the money because I just won't do them. No, you listen to regular talk radio. It's just continued ads, you know, even like, you know, when the ads are over.
And people are so hungry. They, you know, they want to hear more information.
Well, I'm all wound up. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, did you guys see how low this cost?
Usually there's not coffee in here.
No, you're
the right. Issue was I got so busy and had to go back on air. I didn't. This is only like my second cup.
Cheers to you. That's
so I'm not good. As crabby.
Oh, well, I think it's actually been a really good success. I know that we didn't reach our $1 million goal, but I definitely think that people care and have contributed what they can, especially with the hard times. So.
Well, we've always raised 300 to 500,000. It's close to 2 million the last four. Like we think it's 1.8 million something. Sounds like a lot. It's not when you got all this crew and equipment and stuff. And,
oh, absolutely.
And we are going to get not even the fancy, but the real switchers because folks, stuff's been freezing up. We got three of them to run the two studios, and then one just in emergencies because one's always being sent off to be fixed. And they're not bad for the price. It's really great. I think they try to have them do too much. But we do need to get like, not so much a nicer one, just one that's more solid state.
Yeah, we need more whipping mules. That's what you're
exactly.
Saying.
Well, we just need to get the equipment out there. Seriously, though, at the Ask Alex situation here.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Questions just keep coming in, and they're all so good.
It's planetinfowars.com, the social network for people to meet and go camping or dating or playing croquet. I love you, croquet.
The digital version.
Person, how is that? Gilligan.
Yeah, you know, we're still, it's still in beta. We're still working on
I can pay you stuff, to perspire.
But I think all in all, people are actually getting a lot of good out of it. So I've seen some amazing stories. I started a group called Everyone Has a Story because I've seen so many great videos and people posting.
Autobots rollout.
He was practicing.
I am Optimus Prime.
Very nice.
Autobots rollout.
You know, that'd be cool if you could put that in the magazine, like a push button and your voice on the cover. Can we make that happen?
It'd be like, The Cube, we came to your world. Megatron, prepare to die.
My voice is so shot, it's not even really doing it right now.
It still sounds pretty good, though.
We can end this destructive conflict.
Right now or later?
Nah, that's sorry.
Oh, dear, I'll have to disintegrate you. Stratium-12 detonator to destroy the Earth. Pesky Earth creature.
Okay, I'm going to reel Alex back in here, guys. So that
No, roll the dice. Try to get me to do another voice.
Oh, man. You know that Disney voice, the try this in the vault, blah, 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 that guy. I watched this YouTube video of five guys in a limo or something, and it's all the voiceover, the popular voiceover guy. It was so weird. They did what you were doing, but weirder.
Autobots rollout.
Anyways, let me try a different one.
Oh, man.
Cobra, you want to hear Cobra Commander? That's what
I am the leader. I am Cobra. Cobra leader.
Which is also the voice of Starscream.
Megatron, I will lead the Decepticons. I will now have the power.
Where's his Cobra stick? There's a stick.
Well, you know why I ended up doing Cobra Commander? Somebody mailed me a Cobra Commander outfit.
Really?
But it was like a small, so we put Rob Jacobs in it, and then he was my lieutenant. In fact, when we go to break before David Icke, and we pull up, it's on YouTube. Alex Jones interviews Cobra Commander. And because, he might as well be president. I mean, who needs Mitt Romney or Barack Obama when you've got Cobra Commander?
Exactly. Yeah, he's really in charge there.
Well, he stages terror attacks, blaming on his enemies.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Huh?
Cobra.
Somebody had this funny idea for you to make a...
You will all now use Cobalt currency.
You could put Cobra Commander on the top of your calendar and then put the false flags in the calendar, you know?
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
I will now keep you safe. There will be men in blue uniforms working for Cobra who will take you and your family behind closed doors where we will break your will. I now have America under my control. Hail TSA. Hail Cobra.
They even wore Cobra blue, have you noticed?
I did.
TSA should start wearing Cobra mask.
Might as well. I mean, I actually had the idea. Why don't we go?
You will learn, slaves.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we go arrest the TSA? Wouldn't that be the craziest?
That would be an act of terrorism.
Oh, right. Of course. Of course.
It is you, my dear, who will be arrested.
All right, let's go ahead.
Yeah, I'm probably going to fly list now.
All right. Let's get to the questions.
Right. Okay, we're getting serious now.
Cobra.
I am Optimus Prime.
Alex, I know you've been awake for a long time, but hold it together here.
Not really. I had too much coffee.
Oh, man.
Too much coffee, man. You know, Beavis
coffee,
and Butthead.
Coffee.
Ooh, yeah.
I can wear the shirt up over my head anyways.
Wake up, America. Alex Jones here. All right, so Planet Fours, this is going to be the first. We're going to just kind of
continue. Is now Planet Cobra.
Okay, planetcobra.com in the Ask Cobra Commander group. We've got Jay asking you. He says, Alex, was George Washington really a Freemason? If so, why are Freemasons looked at as evil or bad?
That's an incredibly big area to cover. Yes, George Washington was a master Mason. You can pull up in famous paintings and engravings of him in his apron. But, I mean, I've had ancestors that were Masons. Most Masons, it's just a fraternal order that goes back to stonemasons. Mm-hmm. Thousands of years ago, colleges weren't you know, public. They were private, and they were secret. You didn't get in to learn technology and how to build things. That was incredibly valuable if you know how to build cathedrals. And so it predates Christianity. It goes back to Solomon's Temple, really, and before that to Egypt. So it's got all the mumbo-jumbo attached to it, but it's really just fraternal order. But they're perfect. Or intelligence agencies are perfect for private intelligence agencies, a.k.a. the Illuminati, to take over and use it to take over Europe or in other areas and get rid of another tyranny and replace the monarchs with their own tyranny. And so Washington, and guys, you can go to the National Archives, type in Library of Congress, George Washington letters on Illuminati. I mean, I can do this right now. George Washington letters on the Illuminati, Library of Congress, and he wrote them.
You're listening live.
And he says, like, this is a dastardly group of Jacobins out of the French Revolution who want to overturn nature's God and bring in a savage tyranny. They are unbelievably wicked and dangerous and must be dealt with. They ought to make a movie about that.
Yeah.
Anyways, and they probably killed him. So, yeah, he was a Mason, but he wasn't a black magic practitioner.
Random note, when I went to...
Since when has Sauron the Wise... given up wisdom for madness, huh?
Whenever
we must join with Sauron. A new time is upon us.
You know, George Washington was afraid of being buried alive. They had him splayed out on his dining room table for 3 days because he was so paranoid about being buried alive. Random side note, but...
Well done, Lord Vader.
Jay,
get a medical part immediately. Lord Vader is in danger.
You'll have to. What was it again? That Jay should Google. What should they Google in Washington?
He should Emperor. He should Google Emperor Palpatine.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I will not be the leader here, but I, Cobra Commander, nominate Emperor Palpatine to Supreme Emperor.
All right, Jay, I hope you got your answer.
No, I mean, what are they asking? What to Google now?
No. You just said go Google, like, Washington letters or something to that effect. And I just wanted to...
No, just Washington, George Washington letters, Illuminati.
Okay.
Look, I'll do it. Watch this.
No, I'm really curious.
No, it's good. Is it George Washington? George Washington.
Oh, awesome. They've got it pulled up.
Oh, there it is. Library of Congress, Washington warns of Illuminati. Yeah, but like find the, yeah, click here. See what it says here? It's in red.
Yeah.
See in red? See the little linky winky? Click that. And then there you are. And then you can actually view the letters.
Interesting.
There you go.
So it's a fraternal order.
Here, let me read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sir, I have your favor of the 17th. Instant before me, and my only motive to trouble you with the recent letter is to explain and correct a mistake which I perceive to hurry, which I have... I can't read it because it's cut off on screen. There's a whole bunch of them. You can go see scans of them with his signature.
Wow. That's awesome. I'll go check that
out. How dare him stand against the Illuminati? When all we want to do is kill everyone.
All right, excuse me. That's enough.
Speaking of killing everyone, there's actually... I'm going to skip to a question here. It says...
Cobra Commander.
I guess we'll get to it.
Only one person can defeat Cobra Commander.
Only
and
one.
That is Autobots Rollout.
No, it's the truth, Alex. It's the truth. All right, Olga asks you, she says, Alex, about vaccines, are the vaccines today the same as they were when I had them, like, as a baby 20 or 30 years ago?
Yes, they're more nutritious now.
Of course, they're so full of all that aluminum.
Cobra Commander says, take your vaccines. You should be arrested if you don't. The government loves you. Yes, they've done a lot of secret testing, killing people, but that's part of the Cobra plan. Those shots are as good as the Cobra venom. Maybe worse.
I'm sorry.
Cobra!
I was doing this with Michael back there yesterday, and he was just deadpan.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, it did that. You were funny. Yeah, you were really funny yesterday.
Seriously, Christy. They're getting worse by the minute. It's all done on purpose, basically. I mean, some of them just don't even care. It's huge, rotting, stinking facilities with every form of, you know, bacteria, fungus, microplasms. Remember Bioport 12 years ago? The top general basically owned it. Mm-hmm. And then they were mandating troops take an anthrax shot. And it wasn't just the deadly anthrax. It was just, I mean, you heard about those steroid shots killing a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah.
Same deal. I mean, it had the same funguses and everything. It's just troops were just dying in mass to the point they rebelled. They want to set the precedent to just shoot people up. A bunch of people have convulsions or die, and then it's still okay.
And that's
it's like, here, take your shot. And then it's like, oh, there's no problem. There's no side effect. It's right. A conspiracy theory, even though there's just, you know.
It's happening.
Even though the insert says it might kill you.
Right.
No, the insert doesn't say that. You're like, here it says right here. No, it doesn't, because next you're going to tell me Cobra Commander isn't a nice person.
Well, I mean, they're already making us illiterate with their, you know, re-education camps, a.k.a. public schools. So, you know.
I am the leader.
All right. So, yeah. So they are the same or they aren't the same then? 20 years ago, 30 years ago? They're getting worse.
They're even worse.
Yeah.
You've That's an yourself. Oversimplification.
Yeah. You said yourself that the idea is good, like the idea of a vaccine.
No. I've said there is some science to show that it could happen, but then it also lowers your other immunities. It can cause her. I mean, I'm not just saying, I'm against getting going to the hospital ever.
Right.
You know, the point is that I'm like against going to the hospital because they got flesh eating bacteria and stuff in them, the number one cause of death.
Yeah.
I want to stay out of there unless I absolutely have to. You know, I'm crushing a car wreck. And then it's kind of like, well, yeah, it's like, do I want to have open heart surgery someday, which is incredibly dangerous? Well, only if I'm going to die, right. Only if I got to have it. And it's like, you know, and I'm not taking vaccines and I got three kids and they've never had one. So what's, and they're healthy. They're healthier than most. Yeah, they don't look like zombies like the other kids.
Absolutely. Okay, well, good. That answers your question.
Cobra.
Alex, this one comes to you from Paulo, and he says, Alex, I think it will be better if we will concentrate talking to people in the military and the police. Tell them the truth. This will be better rather than wasting time talking on the election drama and ask them what they're fighting for. I mean, the world, New World Order.
Well, I agree, but they psychologically profile, especially cops. Then they brainwash them.
What is it, an IQ of 100?
I told people that 15 years ago, and they said it was a conspiracy. Courts have ruled everywhere. They don't really they don't want over 100, but they really like about 85.
Interesting.
And then they say that because the courts have said, well, they want them where they don't ask too many questions, mm-hmm. and they don't think too much, mm-hmm. and where they'll do boring things. They want just kind of someone with 85 IQ that likes to basically dominate people all day.
Right, and that's not to say that all cops are dumb or...
Well, no, you have to forcibly do bad on the test, though.
Interesting. That's really interesting.
Listen, when I was in college, I was going, maybe I'll work for the forestry service. I thought I'd be outside all day and like the outdoor worker. Maybe I'll be a history teacher, you know.
Right.
And then I was like, well, maybe I'll, be a cop, fight bad guys. That's how naive I still was, even though I knew cops when I was growing up in Dallas who were drug dealers. Uh-huh. I thought I'll be, and my dad goes, here's my friend who's like the head federal marshal in this whole region. He wants to talk to you when he heard this. And he goes, Sean, are you a criminal? And I said, no. And he goes, well, do you like doing criminal things? No. And he goes, well, it isn't what it used to be. You don't want to be a cop then if you're not a criminal.
Interesting.
And then he was about to retire.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, are you a criminal? No.
Right.
Backward
thinking.
So, that's what it is now. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, even if a cop's not a classic criminal, they're violating the Bill of Rights Constitution all day long.
Absolutely.
And so you're not needed in the new imperial force. I mean, they don't have special officers to enforce our loving emperor's needs.
No, they give him an 8-hour course, and they give him a blue button down, and they call it the TSA.
Well, exactly. That's the new police forces. Yeah. You've had an 8-hour course. You now can read minds. And I've literally had them walk to me and go, hi, Alex, how you doing? Heard your show yesterday. Let me ask you a few questions. And if you don't answer me, you're not flying, because I can tell what you're doing.
Oh, you're creeping.
What you going to Vegas for? Hey, a little fun? I'm like, Jesse Ventura's TV show? You know, the one suing you guys? Uh-huh, oh. Troublemaker. You know, I can read minds now. Like, really? Okay, well, then you're reading your own. You're a sack of shit. Excuse me. Oh, my. Oh, no, that was wrong.
That
oh, that was wrong. I'm sorry.
This is live, Alex. You got to remember that. I'm giving you a hard time. All right. For Our Liberty actually asked you, she says, Alex, I don't know if you've been asked this before, but do you think that online dating sites are a form of eugenics themselves, which is a curiosity to
me. Right, I want to stop right here. Okay. Just from I apologize for using the non-King's English, and I'm a little dingy, and I apologize. I know it's a family show. I won't do it again. I apologize. I'm bad. I hope it was under that while I was asleep a few hours. Now, getting back to this. No, I mean, it makes me really mad at the TSA.
Absolutely.
Occasionally, lower English is a good pejorative to describe the perfunctory weakness of the dilapidated minds of the
using big words now.
Sub-zombie mortuary class. Hey, but anyways, what was I going to talk about here?
We just touched on the eugenics and social dating.
Well, I mean, it all depends. But yeah, all the profiles, which can be gamed and everything else. It's good to meet people out in person.
Yeah.
Not just kind of throw yourself into a mix and then whatever happens.
I like long walks on the beach, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. or like I'm this age and really they're older and all that weirdness. I've never been in a dating site.
It's their high school photo and they're 85 now. Like, that's the funniest thing.
Yeah, it's like them on a buggy.
Yeah.
Anyways, getting back to what we were saying, we don't push it as dating at planetinfowars.com, but
yeah.
We had one that wasn't a very good system, so when it got like 40-something thousand members, it crashed. We couldn't fix it. So we got a better one now. PlanetInfoWars.com, and I just had so many people come up to me and say, oh, I met my husband, or I met my wife on there, or here's my kid, you know.
Cool.
That happened quite a few times, so that is part of it. People, you know, saying, hey, I'm in this area, you know, want to start a shooting enthusiast club, or I want to go camping, or I want a business opportunity, or hey, we're going to go protest here, PlanetInfoWars.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people are actually doing that, too. It's exciting. Yes,
very exciting.
So do you think that it's a socioeconomic human pair bonding manipulation by social Darwinists?
I think the way
it's big words too.
I think some of the way I was just being silly.
I know.
I think some of those, the way they're set up, it was bordering on gibberish when I did actually. Like we're like a Dr. Seuss words. Anyways, no, they were all real. It made some sense.
Just making it make it rhyme.
Exactly. No, I mean, it all meant something. I don't know about what it meant, but, yeah, I mean, some of those are set up that way. What about the ones where it's like everybody's cheating, come to the site and find out today?
Oh, yeah.
And really all that people are doing is dialing into prostitutes. I mean, it's and people think it's fun now, but what about the families it breaks up and all the things it does? This is what you see before a society collapses. Whether it's 6 months from now or 10 years from now, we're on the highway to hell. And you know what? It isn't fun. It isn't a bunch of girls dressed up, you know, like cheerleaders at the end of it, like we're sold. It's burning cities, black uniforms and torture camps with robot drones flying overhead, spraying biological weapons on us. So that's where this road leads, and I'd like to get off of it. But I know all those that end up serving it who think it's all funny, you will be destroyed by your own actions. There you go.
Yeah. Well, this next one actually comes to you from Sheepdog 1776. And he says, Dear Alex, do you think the recent plan to attack the Federal Reserve was a test run to blame the Liberty Movement when they do a real attack on a Federal Reserve building?
Absolutely. I've predicted, and we need the crew to like save times when I make predictions. I said, I believe one of the main targets over and over again will be the Federal Reserve, mm-hmm. and they're going to blame it on Liberty Movements.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, next time they'll say a militia group tried it, just like last time Al-Qaeda tried it, because they want to merge those two, even though it doesn't make sense. The internal narrative now public is the army manuals. They say, we believe the Tea Party will link up with Al-Qaeda. The Tea Party is so Islamophobic. I mean, they see a bin Laden doll. They fall down and start shaking in fear and you know,
yeah.
literally soil themselves. It's like if they told people, throw your kids off cliffs or Obama will get them, they would put their babies in blenders. You know, their religion is take my rights. Al-Qaeda is so scary. So, yeah, now Al-Qaeda, the patsy, you know, they bring them in, they protect them, everything. Same story as the underwear bomber. The precious Federal Reserve, those poor babies. And all over the country, they walked up to us with guns. Aaron Dykes and Rob Dew. It was Aaron Dykes and Rob Jacobson a half mile away at the World War I Memorial in Kansas City. And they were security guards with guns, and they went, leave or we're going to get you. It was basically, and it's on video, and they're like, And my guys didn't want to cause trouble, so they left. It was in the Kansas City newspaper. They want to just say, looking at a Federal Reserve building is life in prison. I mean, Federal Reserve's God. Al-Qaeda tried to bomb it. From now on, it's God. I mean, we've got to have checkpoints on the highways. Al-Qaeda, Christy.
What do you think about Anonymous? Like, I bring up Anonymous because I find them fascinating. But, you know, are they speculation?
Well, I mean, look. Sure. Here, I'll draw a image here. Can I have a document cam shot right over here? Yeah, but you guys can do it, a document cam. I don't think they hear me in there. Document cam, guys. Yeah, it's not a big deal. I've been working really long, but everybody's having conversations in there. And nobody heard us. Just let me have a document cam shot.
Still chuckling from Cobra Commander.
Cobra.
Anyways, just right here. You got that document cam right here. Just or wherever you like, I'll do it.
Awesome.
Okay, right here. See, I mean, you just call something anonymous. That's why it's good to do things when you fight tyranny out in the open, because you're getting past the fear, you're getting past the chilling effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're crossing your line in the sand. You're all in. But instead, you get something like anonymous, and it's just, well, we're anonymous. Well, now this can speak for all hackers and all activists and people that want computer freedom. And Anonymous says they don't want the government cybersecurity taking over. Anonymous now speaks for people that are against tyranny. But now they can go in and provocateurs saying they're anonymous. Do you understand?
Yeah, it can be manipulated.
And so they can project onto this. Same thing with Occupy Wall Street. The globalists pushed that and announced it. Didn't say it had any goal, just, you know, against corruption. Well, who doesn't agree with that? Everybody shows up. Then Democratic Party shows up and says, we're now going to lead you with George Soros. We exposed it so it didn't work. So then they had simultaneous 36 city Homeland Security raids shutting them down and beating them. Because, they project, then they try to take control of it. Didn't work, they get rid of it. So then all these hackers and people think, I'm contacting Anonymous. It's kind of like in 1984 where Winston gets given this book of the resistance. But really he's being given it by the head torture leader, you know, inner party member. And he's like, Winston, we just like to torture people. That's why we even control the resistance. You understand?
Yeah, it's just a
So it's Illuminati manipulation within manipulation. So. You know, obviously, WikiLeaks had real people in it, but also not. It became a honeypot to find out who was leaking.
Yeah.
You understand?
That makes sense.
And then they can control what comes out. So it's a little of both. I mean, it's cloak and dagger. Cloak and dagger. Like, there's cloaks and where's the dagger?
Right.
And the way to handle that is just right at it. There's no cloak and dagger here. Godzilla. You know, like, over the city. Yeah, I mean, we've got the Godzilla approach here. I mean, guys, we pull up Godzilla attacking a city. I'm just going to go for hours here. Just go to YouTube, type in Godzilla destroys Tokyo. I mean, you know, think of that as the New World Order and the info war. They're lies.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to creep around. We're not hiding in the shadows. We're coming out of the ocean. You know, our tail glows blue. You know, we're like, see a New World Order train of propaganda. We're looking in the windows.
All right, did you hear that, listeners? I want to see somebody make a video of Godzilla Alex style here coming out to get the New World Order. I want to see that.
I mean, I can't even do his yell. It's like, really a fat guy in a rubber suit. No. I remember coming to work in a Godzilla outfit.
No! It's jacket weather. Thank you.
Yeah, he has little eyes like our French bulldogs. Anyways, all right, let's go to the next one. What's the next one?
So this next one's from Grant. He says, hi, Alex. We have an alternative media here in the UK called UK Column, and Patrick Henningsen, works with them. If you have heard of them, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I've had the head of that group on. They do some pretty good work, and I know Henningsen's over in England. He formerly worked with us, we're trying more and more to have our writers in-house. So Patrick's working with them now, and I think that's doing, you know, they're doing a great job. We should interview, what's his name, Garish, the head guy. It's a group.
He doesn't say.
It's a group countering Common Purpose and the little New World Order Agenda 21 NGOs.
Interesting. Well, I'm actually going to use that to kind of flow into another question. There's a user actually asked, I don't think I wrote it down, but there was a user that actually asked, like,
did we find Godzilla?
Yeah, did we find Godzilla?
On YouTube? Okay, here it is, folks. We're not hiding. We're out in the open. Once they convince you to be covert, then they've got you. I mean, you could do some stuff covert, but you should you should know that covert's actually what they're looking for. Because, here it is. Very nice. And we'll just show the video. Well, hell, I'll pull it up. Watch this. Check it out. Yeah. There you go. Ah, New World Order lies. Oh, no. It is Godzilla. Oh, what are we doing now?
No, do your voiceover right now. Alex, do your voiceover.
Oh, no, Godzilla is angry. What? Oh, no. Oh, he does not like Federal Reserve. Oh, no. like the 1950s Godzilla with Perry Mason.
Wow.
Rawr, there you go, George Soros and your propaganda. Try that. Yeah. Here. I like the part, though, like, you know, when they go, they look up and they go, Godzilla! And what we need is, we need, you know, like somebody going, oh, InfoWars, oh, no!
With New World Order shirts on.
Exactly. And I'm like, rawr. Yeah. Like MSNBC, CNN, like figuratively, they're lies just being, you know.
Yeah, getting rid of the boob tube there, just getting rid of it. This is actually a random question from the last one. The guy, you know, he talks about the
impressive, media. Most impressive. There I am coming out. Oh, Godzilla! No, Godzilla!
Propaganda!
Oh, no, yeah.
Crashing up!
All in a cyclonic cavalcade of electrifying horror.
All the beast of monsters.
Godzilla, king of the monsters.
Oh, yeah.
I'm working on my overdue voice, guys.
Godzilla with the money bomb fueling him.
That's awesome. That is so awesome.
All right, next question.
No, but people ask ask all the time, what can I do? And you say, start your own thing. And in this whole alternative media in the UK, there was actually a question. I didn't put it on here. But he asked, what do you do? What do you suggest? Like, when you started, how did you start? Literally as a camera and a microphone? Like, I mean, you're set up.
Access TV.
Access TV.
17 years ago.
Okay. So if you had a quick suggestion for somebody trying to start their own alternative.
I should probably do a news report on that sometime.
That would be amazing.
Go to an Access show. Yeah, if it's half good, start doing YouTube. Just come to the Access now.
Absolutely.
Show that to local talk stations.
Yeah.
And tell them. People always have like some master plan and they're going to do this and that. Show them and say, hey, I'd like to learn how to run the board myself and volunteer.
Just do it. Yeah.
And here's my YouTube channel. I'd like to do a, you know, once a week hour show on local politics. Get it, gets popular, you'll end up being weekdays. You know, they'll say, hey, you know, Bob or Jenny or whatever the name is, you've been here 6 months. How'd you like to fill in on the nighttime show?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. And pretty soon, hey, Karen's going on vacation. Would you like to do the morning show?
Cool.
Sure. But I mean, some people like show up. They're like, "I want my own show, and I'll run everything." And then someone will do my nails for me. You know, people like show up. I've seen people like show up literally, you know, all fancy and like, "I'm now the boss," and it's just like delusion. You know,
yeah.
It's like getting in there, grunt work. It's about fighting the New World Order. It's not about being all calculating and everything. It's about Godzilla.
Well, it's interesting. I was
stomping on things. Yes.
I just had this conversation last night about humility. It's a you know, a very powerful
tool. But a humility that's hopping around like a giant dinosaur. No, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, it's like we've got to get wild on these people.
Yeah.
We got to just get past all the rest of it and get real and just get in there.
We have to be confident. I think that's a big deal.
Hey, let's hear this one bit here. Okay. Turn it up for me.
King of the monsters. It's alive. A gigantic beast stalking the earth.
Hell bent on liberty.
In a cyclonic cavalcade of
angry at bureaucrats and control freaks.
Through the streets, a Godzilla, king of the monsters. Incredible titan of terror. Wiping out a city of 6 million in a holocaust of flame. Just flame.
Here come the bureaucrats, George Soros, Media Matters. Ah, it only angers him.
Is this the end of our civilization? Can the scientists of the world find a way to
stop the creature?
Or the answer, see Godzilla, king of the monsters. You may wish to deny it, but your eyes tell you it's true. A tale to stun the mind. More fantastic than any ever written by
Godzilla
human birds.
Rule out.
More terrifying than any ever shown on the screen. Awesome. Incredible. Unbelievable. A story beyond your wildest dreams.
Looks like my dogs when we leave them alone with my shoes.
Hundreds of dollars worth of shoes to my dog.
What kind of dog do you have?
It's a Basset German Shepherd.
Oh, wow.
Short, squatty, long, and smart. Very, very smart.
All right, now Basset Shepherd.
Turn the paws and everything. He's awesome.
I got to see this animal.
He's awesome.
Okay, let's get to the last ones. Okay. We got to get to David Icke here.
Okay, all right. So this will be the last question. It's from Jamie. It says, Dear Alex, I'm a student living in the UK, and I feel... Oh, no, this is the question that I asked you earlier, so we're skipping that. All right, Rachel in LA. She says, Dear Alex, I respect the fact that you're a Christian. I respect the entire idea of freedom. So, of course, I respect the concept that people can believe whatever they want. On the other hand, I spent many years studying the Bible, which led me away from the church. And I guess my question to you is that, considering you are the king of conspiracy theories, how and why do you select Jesus as the ultimate God? And I mean, obviously, these are very personal questions. So, Alex, you know, it's up to your discretion. But don't you know about the writings from the Sumerians, the pre-Bible, that parallel with the stories of the Bible?
Yeah, but I mean, that only gives validity to it that every culture has basically the same stories. I mean, exactly the same. I mean, modern preachers have created all these fake arguments saying the earth this old versus that, or those are all people designed to discredit it. And you know what? That's why it's not a religious show. I just don't get into all of it.
No, absolutely.
I get establishment religion is bad. But Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I've had spiritual experiences that are, my personal life. And so, I know there's another realm out there, and I know the world doesn't want people to believe in it. But I say the churches are terrible, most of them. So I'm not saying go in there. I mean, you know, the system puts a lot in between you and God. And also come from Christians, a long line of Christians, and I'm proud of my Christian heritage. And it's really that simple. And I see the world waging war on every level against, you know, real Christianity, not all the counterfeits and fake copies of it. And it doesn't mean I'm up on some high horse either. You know, real evil is being cowardly and letting innocent people be hurt by bullies. You know, it's not, I'm not saying it's good, but it's not, you know, if you did some drugs once, you know, you're going to hell, or, you know, you were promiscuous, you're going to hell, or even had an abortion, you're going to hell, as long as you later learn it was wrong. Now, if you know it's a child, make excuses and stuff, well, then, you know, that's bad news. It's about your heart. You know, King David did a lot of bad things, but his heart was right and he repented. You know, Zeitgeist, the first movie, that isn't really about what the Bible's going on. You know, like the Zeitgeist guy said, hey, I want to get you back on to be friendly. And he said, well, you have to say, you know, and retract that I said you'd go to a re-education camp. And I said, but you did say that in the interview. And he goes, no, I didn't. And I went and looked it up and he did say that. And I'm like, well, just come on, Peter Joseph. I want to be friendly. He goes, I don't believe that. I'm like, well, I just said I was going to be friendly. But, you know, it's like I'm not going to a re-education camp, you know. You know, it's been Christians that have done so much good. There's also been a lot done in the name of Christians. But, Christy, any other questions?
That's it for now from the Planet Infowars group. So
PlanetInfoWars.com.
They're great questions, and they keep coming in. They've been rolling in constantly. So thank you guys for all your great questions. And I know Alex enjoys these segments. He actually is like, Christy, when are we doing another one? He loves answering your questions. It's a good break from all the serious.
Well, I like it because you don't give them to me beforehand.
Yeah. I
like in the past, you'd hand me a sheet. You'd hand me the sheet right before we went.
Well, you never looked at it. So I didn't think it was worthwhile.
No, exactly.
I like tree or whatever.
I mean, we ought to have a thing where you like come in the morning or something with a bunch of news I haven't looked at yet.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because a lot of times I've already seen it like five times. Like, oh, yeah, they admit cell phones, brain tumors. Oh, they admit world government again. Oh, they're, you know, doing this.
Some of these Planet Infowars users share some really interesting stuff.
No, we take a lot of it and then post it on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com.
Yeah, a lot of the stories that Adon and Kurt find sometimes are from Twitter and from Planet Infowars users and things like that. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Guys, I know it's an intro, but I want to go out of it as an outro. Can we find This Is the End, My Only Friend, the End?
Oh, this is the end of the money bomb.
Yeah. Well, not completely, okay. but I mean, it's the end of the live money bomb.
I appreciate you having me on, Alex.
Well, it doesn't matter. Can we go out with Hallowed Be Thy Name? Oh, wait. Yeah, and then we're going to have Cobra Commander. Alex Jones interviews Cobra Commander. And then we're going to Cobra Commander for president, and then we're going to get to the David Icke interview that, I mean, is bombshell.
It is.
Well, I've got to screw around some folks. When I'm in here 10, 15, 20 hours a day sometimes, you know, I'm going to start joking around or I would collapse, you know.
Absolutely.
You got to have a little bit of fun sometimes. You know, all work and no play makes Jack.
Crazy. I don't know.
A dull boy. Anyways. All right. Christy Hightower. Great job. We'll see you over there at PlanetInfoWars.com. And
thank you.
Twitter.com. Real Alex Jones. No, thank you. No, we're not going out yet. We'll do the music. And after about a minute of that, then we'll fade out to the deal. But I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart for your support. I want to thank you all for your donations, and I love you, and I appreciate you, and we're really building something thanks to you buying the books, the videos, Prison Planet subscriptions, donating. If you feel, you know, like this is something you want to promote, please keep donating. We're going to just keep restreaming right through to tomorrow so many of the amazing interviews. There's too many for us to even get them all up at YouTube yet for everybody. A lot of them are there at the Alex Jones channel. But we're going to be restreaming them here. So keep sending out, you know, that InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com address, and then some will also donate, but so they can see all these interviews. We're going to re-air. Oh, there it is. This is the end. Yeah, that's great. But let's go out with the Hallaby that name. I've got my mind set on that. And then when Cobra Commander ends, we can play that as a segue. Great job, guys. Well, many of them working on 2 or 3 hours sleep. I'm coming here, and some people are sleeping underneath the equipment desk. And I'm like, you were able to go home? They're like, I'm having fun. It's almost like a sleepover or something over here, a camp out. Okay. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. The thing everybody should do is get that address and say the broadcast stream is still going. Incredible interviews. Gerald Celente. We should re-air George Norrie. That was powerful. Gerald Celente. The David Icke's coming up. And again, this isn't on the web yet because for whatever reason, the copy that the YouTube crew got didn't. It was like an hour. It was 2 hours and only had 20 minutes on it. And then I go, I'm cutting my mic. And when I saw it this morning, I'm like, did that cut it off? But no, we went and found it. We have it. We have the audio. We have the video. I go, I'm now giving the show over to you, David Icke. And then click no audio with a bunch of viewers watching nothing. Here it is for everybody that wants to catch it, get it. You got 10 minutes to start recording because here's Alex Jones interviews Cobra Commander. And people on YouTube are like, Alex, I would have had Cobra say this or Cobra Commander say that. I, right before we went live one night, went and dressed up in a Cobra Commander outfit, shot on blue screen with Rob Jacobson as my lieutenant, acting like I was being asked questions, saying it in one take. Then I went in and played that on the monitor, talking to myself in one take. No writing, no nothing. See, that's the good thing about this. There's not a bunch of writing and a bunch of premeditation going on. We write articles about things, but what you get here is what I really think. It's teleprompter free. And even when I do bits, it's done on the fly. So we can get more done, but then it sure gives armchair quarterbacks, people not in the arena, a lot to say. And I'm not complaining. I like armchair quarterbacking because you give us a lot of ideas. It's just that, believe me, we're getting done more than anybody in modern history has ever gotten done by the grace of the good Lord above and all of you supporting us at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. So listen, hit the email, hit the Facebook, hit the Twitter, hit everybody. We are going to run this right through till we're on tomorrow with the radio show, 4 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Eastern. So InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, wherever you are in the world, we're going to have David Icke, and then we're going to have Gerald Celente, and we're going to have George Norrie, and we're going to have it all, Lord Monckton, all of it, right into the show tomorrow, 4 o'clock. I commend the InfoWars crew, absolutely stratospheric. You, the listeners, the supporters, the sponsors, everybody, get Joel Skousen's new film, Strategic Relocation, that we produced at InfoWarsShop.com. Be the first to get it. All of it funds this operation and what we do. And we've got to fund our operation, so might as well fund it by getting good quality products, videos, books, water filters out to people. It's a win-win-win-win-win. InfoWarsHealth.com, the great vitamins and minerals, that supports us. Best stuff we found, InfoWarsHealth.com. Support us. And by the way, the Money Bomb is really starting to tick up right now. People are really watching because they're all busy during the week. 888-253-3139 to call. We're going to have, not the crew, they're going to burn out soon, but we can put it over to the 1-800 service. Oh, we're not ready yet. We're not going to go to it yet because I like to listen to this. This is good poetry. So again, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, or 888-253-3139. And we'll be back here tomorrow with the Sunday show, 4 to 6. But get the video stream that's free at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com out to everyone. Tell them, look at these amazing interviews that are streaming. Only place you can find them because a lot of them haven't got posted on the web yet. And then in a few days, we'll make sure they're all posted, not just to PrisonPlanet.tv, where a lot of them already are, but to YouTube, and we'll link them on the InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com page. That's basically it. So for Godzilla and everybody else here at the crew, we want to thank you for all you've done. And we've now done 29 and a half hours. No, 49 and a half hours. There you go. 49 and a half hours. 49 and a half hours of live transmission. We now take you to Cobra Commander. And then out of that funny stuff, gallows humor that we're about to talk about, to the super hardcore, off the charts, unbelievable, out of control, scary, cogent, focused David Icke interview that we did yesterday morning. So without further ado, you want it, you got it, Cobra Commander, and then David Icke. Stay with us.
you're not modern trending. So I want to thank him for joining us.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I'm waiting in my cold cell when the bell begins to chime, reflecting on my past life, and it doesn't have much time. 'Cause at 5 o'clock they take me to the gallows pole.
Running low. The sands of time for the money bomb are running low, but there's still a chance for you to be part of history and go and donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Oh, crank that up.
To the bowels of the last sight of a world that has gone very wrong. Can it be that there's some sort of error going to stop the surmounting terror? Is it really the end?
Or just some crazy dream? Cobra Commander, and then David Icke. Stay with us. Great job, crew. Great job, listeners.
Welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. We're now joined by humanitarian and overall trendy Cobra Commander. He is an international terrorist, a dictator over third world countries. He's involved in bioweapons, weapon sales. And now in the modern America and modern world where torture, secret arrest, TSA, groping your children's genitals is what the good guys do, I thought we'd have him on. I know the media reaches out to Cobra Commander or Cobra Leader quite often, and he refuses to come on, but he has agreed to do this interview because he has a big announcement tonight to make to the people that live in this 1984 society. And again, if you're not with the Cobra Leader or Mr. Cobra, then you're not a modern trendy. So I want to thank him for joining us this evening. Mr. Cobra and associate, I guess minion, kind of like North Korea, thank you for joining us, Mr. Cobra Leader.
You pathetic little worm. How dare you call me Mr. Cobra? I am Supreme Cobra Commander. You call your petty bureaucrats, officials, and authorities, you will kneel before Cobra or face my wrath! You pathetic little worm, how dare you call me Mr. Cobra?
Your Supreme Excellency, your graciousness, your Royal Highness, Cobra Commander, I should give you the same attention that other mass murderers get who run empires, like the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth II. I apologize. The corporate media for a long time has wondered who you actually are, and since I got your title wrong, will you please tell us who you are, sir? Because tyranny is so trendy right now. Why not reveal yourself, your lordship?
None of your pathetic business, worm. Submit to me. Even this gentleman here to my left is a servant of Cobra. For decades, you've known him as the real Cobra Commander. Only now am I letting you pathetic people know that it is I, the true Cobra Commander, who have ruled from behind the scenes.
Oh, man. And I always liked the Bill of Rights and Constitution and due process. It is so cool. You just are talking down to me.
Now I know how other Americans feel. We like being slaves. Thank you, sir. Oh, I've got so many other questions. Thank you for giving us this big, gracious interview. Miss Napolitano, I'm sorry to reveal your identity. I mean, forget that. Cobra Commander, why are you agreeing to this interview? You said you had some special announcement for us. Please tell us what that is, sir.
I am the leader. I am Cobra Commander. I have agreed to this interview so that you might know that I have decided to go public and to have a public stock offering in Cobra Global Enterprises. I intend to issue my own fiat currency, but before I do that, I intend to sue Homeland Security for copyright and trademark infringement. Black uniforms, ski masks, checkpoints, black armored tanks on the streets, preemptive war, torture, wireless wiretapping, total tyranny is the new freedom that Cobra has taught the world, and now Joe and the Pentagon have stolen my plan and hired Al-Qaeda to carry out their operations in Libya, which they formerly did for me. Now clearly America and the rest of the system has realized that I am the true visionary. And so I now announce to you and the world the greatest moment in the history of Cobra! Cobra! I will now sit for president and run on the Republican Party ticket against that pleasure of Barack Obama that's stolen so many of my ideas. Clearly an America that loves indefinite detention and the NDAA and torture and secret arrest is ready to be ruled by a true tyrant. I was a snake and an oppressor before it was cool. Hail Cobra! Cobra! I am running for president of the United States. And from America, I will continue the policy of global corporate war against the third world. Death and destruction, forced inoculations, hail Cobra!
Well, you're obviously keeping us safe from terrorists. I just only have a few more questions. Your supreme helperness is officialness is authority, it is a powerful government. I know that you are a humanitarian and care about the population. What about climate change? What about carbon taxes that are being implemented? Where does Cobra as an organization stand on that, sir?
As your future president, I agree with Al Gore to be able to breathe or engage in any activity, you will pay not Gore, but me, your supreme leader, money to breathe. If you want to engage in any activity, you will get permission from Cobra. And I now have a giant Homeland Security bureaucracy and police wearing Cobra uniforms who are ready to strike fear into the slaves who will implement this system. So the answer, you pathetic worm, is yes, I will allow you to live if you pay me to breathe. Al Gore has served us well.
What's your electoral strategy? How do you think you're going to be elected?
Cobra is always confident. Not only do the American people clearly love my style of leadership, but if they are woken up by traitors against evil like Ron Paul, I will simply implement the electronic voting machines and the gullible sheeple will buy it all. Hail Cobra!
In closing, your worshipfulness, what is the essence of what you want to impart to all the people that want to live under authoritarian rule?
And remember one more thing, you pathetic little worm and all of your viewers. You belong to me. Tyranny is freedom. The freedom for psychopaths like me and the armies of millions that serve me is the future. Resistance to Cobra is unstoppable. Because I'm keeping you safe from Al-Qaeda. Get me Bin Laden in here for orders. Get the CIA on the phone now and have them hail Cobra.
Well, that's our interview with Cobra Commander. And I'm going to be honest with you. I, in the past, thought that people like Cobra Commander were bad. But I'm a patriot. And now the government says torturing children in Iraq, secretly arresting Americans is good. Putting cancer viruses in vaccines is good. And so, really, people like Cobra Commander are the good people. Like in the Bible, Judas is a good guy. Barabbas is good. Jesus is bad. Nowadays, you know, the Lone Ranger is bad, and then the bank robbers are good. I'm beginning to realize that I was wrong and I was an extremist the entire time. And global government is a good thing. And we're really lucky and blessed to have people like Cobra Commander here to keep us safe. And I'm glad he's running for president. He'll keep America safe. We need a tough guy like that in there to ship guns into Mexico. And so here in this age of tyrants, let's go all the way. Let's elect Cobra Commander. I'm supporting Cobra Commander for president. Doesn't matter. He'll steal it through Diebold machines anyways. And I'm glad that Cobra Commander has put a contract out on anybody talking about the Bill of Rights or Constitution. And I'm glad that Cobra Commander stands against terrorists like Ron Paul. Well, that's it for InfoWars Nightly News. Hail Cobra!
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my.